Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight, welcome to the place. Yeah, the place of grace and the place where you'll see his face, hopefully. Amen. See the face of Jesus. Wow, really awesome. And hopefully you're all doing good tonight. I'm going to be praying for you here in just a little bit, so get ready for some of that. All right. We are here to build you up and lift you up and believe God to help you to see. And sometimes what you see will change what you have been seeing. Right? Sometimes you will. Sometimes it'll change it. Sometimes it won't. It just depends. Is that the Holy Spirit help you see and help you know? And you'll be surprised how it'll change your life. Letting God change you is the biggest thing we should work on, whether that's change some doctrine we believe, you know, whatever. So something that we need to change on. I mean, it's not that big of a deal to us, but maybe a big deal to God, and maybe a big deal to helping you not open the door to fear. Because if you got something, especially in your foundation, if that's not correct, you know, it's not about going to hell. It's about opening up the door to fear or some trouble, because that's what doctrine do. The basic doctrines of Christ, foundational doctrines, and a lot of our doctrines need to be correct, need to be biblical, because they're there to protect us. They're there to keep us like being on the solid rock, where you're on the solid rock. What you believe, especially your foundational, helps you stay on the rock. So if you got something there that's off balance, you may be born again on your way to heaven, but you have some things there that are incorrect. It can open up the door to fear. You can open up the door to any kind of thing. So when you're going through a heavy battle and the storms are raging against you, and you got one foot on the rock really good and the other foot's not quite on there all the way, you got quite got a grip, and you're like, so you end up being blown around in circles, you know, so to speak. You know, you got a picture of that. You got one foot solid, the other one not. It's like the other one's like whirling around. You're still on the rock. It's just getting crazy. Right. And so that's the way if my broken, humble way of explaining things. Dear God, save me. But that's kind of why it's so important to, that's why I've really been asking the Lord, you know, change me, God, change anything and everything, whatever's going on with me. I know there's got to be that I have that are not correct, not perfect, and I want them to be perfected. Please help me. Please show me, and please give me the humility and the grace to change. And not just say, oh, no, you know, I believe that. I'm not going to change. And help me, because, you know, I've been like that. I've been very tough, not changeable on some things. And, man, the more I let God change me, the more I find I have less anxiety and stress. I have less fear attacks. Fear can't hit me. Fear can't mess with me. Fear can't move me, can't spin me around, so to speak, you know. And it's amazing. It's really amazing. It shuts the door to things that are not of God, that, you know, the devil comes in to mess you up, to take your peace from you, because he knows you're not going to lose your eternal peace, but he tries to keep you from having peace in the earth and enjoying the peace of God, enjoying your salvation, enjoying your relationship with God, thinking that any moment you might sin a certain sin and be cast into hell or something. You're either born again or you're not, friend. You didn't get your salvation by good works, and you can't lose them by bad works. I'm sorry to inform you that, or maybe I should be happy to inform you that. If you're truly born again, now some people aren't truly born again, so they think they are, they really believe they are, but they're really not. And, you know, it's a sad thing. It's a scary thing. And we want to make sure that we are saved, that we really are not just written, our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, we go to heaven, so we can have fellowship with God right now. Right? While you're in your body. We talked about this last night, how that while you're in your body, you want to obey God. Because once your spirit man, once you physically die, your physical body is laid in the ground, your spirit and soul go with God in heaven in the storage tank, and you're stored there until you get your, until you come back to earth and get your resurrected body. You know, everything you do in your physical body is sealed. The works that you do, the things that you learn, the obedience things that you do for God, the works of faith, they all build up a resume for, with you before God, so that when we enter into the millennium or whatever you think the next level for you is, you know, that you, those rewards give you favor. You're gonna, some people are going to rule over 10 cities, some over 5, some under none. Some are going to get the cities, the one city that they have to rule over, taken away from them and giving it to the guys and, or the girl who's taking care of stuff correctly, you know, learned how to depend on God, not how smart they are, but how they learn to depend on God. Living in your body is and obeying God now, the reason that's so important is because the level of perfection you get while you're in your body is the reward. Is the greatest part of the reward that you get. Once you die and go to heaven, there's no more reward. You don't add any more rewards to you and that part of you. You don't, there's no more reward. That all is gathered together through when you're in your body, in your spirit and your soul and your body are here on the earth, walking with Jesus, obeying God. And the more you do that, like Enoch, obviously Enoch was really, you know, doing really good because he got caught up. Elijah, the same way, you know. Enoch got caught up because he obeyed. He had a testimony that he pleased God. Wow. So isn't that really? So while you're in your body, now watch. Okay, well, I'm fixing to go somewhere. Thank you, Jesus. This is amazing. So let's talk about Enoch and even maybe Elijah a little bit. And so we know those two for sure, other than Jesus, got raptured up, right, in the rapture, raptured up and in their physical bodies. And so why did that happen? Why did that happen? Because obviously somehow or another, they had pleased God to the point while they were in their human body that they satisfied God. They satisfied God in fulfilling their purpose, right? And they were taken. Man, what does that tell you about me? I got to get busy. Right? Not to, you know, work hard and do something for God, but to obey God. The whole thing about learning about his voice, John 10:10, so, you know, we know his voice. And when you, the more you learn his voice, the less you sweat. We've been talking about sweating this week. The less you sweat, the more you know his voice, the more he's telling you what to do and you're doing it, shows that you're doing the works of the Father, right? Jesus did the works of the Father. He said, my Father works, and therefore I work, right? He wasn't working on his own and saying, hey, God, I'm going to go to work today. Sorry, you're taking a break. I'll handle it. Jesus didn't tell the Father, hey, man, you know, go ahead and take a break today. I can handle this by myself. No, he only worked when the Father worked. When you work when the Father's working, boy, the rewards are high, the level of pleasure that you have in pleasing God that resonates through your body is amazing. And when that gets so full, you just kind of like, boing, and you're gone. Because pleasure, 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 you're pleasing the Father while you're in your body. Now, when you leave your body, you know, you go to heaven to the storage tank, what I call the glorified, wonderful, awesome storage tank. You know, store not up treasure on earth, but store up in heaven. So it's a storehouse. Your spirit man and your soul, your spirit and your soul, when they leave your body, when you die, are in the storage house, right? Storage tank. I call it different names. Storage tank. I like storage tank personally. But a glorified storage tank. But so when you come back, you become whole. Your spirit and your soul enter your body. All right, we're going to get to that. I'm going to probably repeat it a bunch of times so we can kind of grasp it and get a hold of it. Because I'm saying it for myself too. So the purpose of obedience, the very reason that we teach people that you can know the voice of God, that my sheep know my voice. That's why he says my sheep know my voice. Not just the shepherds, not just the really spiritual people, but my sheep know my voice. Why do we need to know his voice? Because if you want to walk into the no sweat realm, the no sweat realm is learning to be moved by God. When God speaks to you to do something, do that and only do that. Other than that, take a break. If God's taking a break, you take a break, right? If he's working on the Sabbath, then, brother, you can work on the Sabbath too, right? Because when you work with God on the Sabbath like Jesus did, remember that? They jumped on him, the Pharisees that said, you're working on the Sabbath. They didn't really understand the Sabbath like Jesus did. Oh, you're working on the Sabbath. That's blasphemous. You know, we're going to stone you. And he said, well, my father works, so I work with him. So obviously when you're working with the Father, you're not working very hard, but a lot's getting done, right? Because he's doing it through you. Why is he doing it through you? Because he's agreeing with you. Why is he agreeing with you? Because you're listening to his voice. And the voice of God, I'm just going to use this as an example, all right? Don't send me an email asking me, you know, how could I dare say this? But just think about this like this. Let's say the only day God worked was on the Sabbath, just to kind of blow everybody's mind. Let's just bring that up. God decides in your particular life, okay, so, you know, whoever you are, the PGN family, we're only going to work together on the Sabbath. That's the only day we're going to do anything, okay, like Jesus. Yeah, Jesus worked on more than the Sabbath, but, you know, when he worked on the Sabbath, he was working on the Sabbath only because he was working with me. And when I worked, the Lord God Almighty says, the Father says, my son worked. And when he worked, he was not by himself. So when you're working by yourself, you sweat. It's hard labor because you're trying to figure out what good things should I do. But when God's voice, through all of his sheep, is speaking and nudging and drawing you in whatever way he speaks to you, and you're doing that, and only that. Let's say it's on the Sabbath. He said, okay, all the PGN family, we have a very special job for you. You're only going to work with me on the Sabbath. Let's say Saturday, you know, in this case. Okay, so Saturday is the only way, it's the only time that we work together. And other than that, I don't want y'all doing nothing. Eat and enjoy yourself the rest of the time. I will meet you in the morning when you wake up on the Sabbath, and we will get up together, and we will go work together. Other than that, I'm not working. We're just going to work together. So if you tried to work on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, other than, you know, then you would be working on your own, trying to do God's business. Because how can we do God's business when God's not inspiring us by his voice to do it? That's what causes us to work without sweat, because he is giving us the faith. He's given us the word, and we do it by the word. We do it by the voice of God. Therefore, because we're doing it because of his voice, he is one with us. He's walking with us. He's doing it through us. And he's getting the glory, of course, all the time. And we get to look good. I like looking good. Yeah, I need lots of help looking good. And I thank God that he has me look good. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Other than that, I look pretty rough. I look pretty like, I don't know what I'm doing. And I don't. Who does? We can think we know what we're doing. We can be professional, you know, and work hard like Mary was working hard, man, cleaning the dishes for Jesus, and I'm doing this for you, Lord, and I'm cleaning the house for you, and I'm busy because of you, and instead of, you know, the rare occasion of Jesus coming to your house, I mean, you have to see her mentality like our mentality sometimes. I mean, we're just trying to perform and look good, and like, you know, a true woman is the way Jesus made us, the way God made us, would be cleaning the house and washing the dishes. And he's going like, hey, man, I mean, I'm only here like once a year. I've only been to the house a couple of times. You know, me and Lazarus are good buddies. He comes to meetings with me. But you guys, I never am here. And you're going to work while I'm here? Think about it, Martha. What you thinking about? Emergency faith, right? Wake up, girlfriend. Hey, get over here with Mary and let's get at my feet. And listen and learn, because you're going to learn things that you may not have to clean the house as much. You know? I got some angels that can do some stuff. We can get them to do that if it'll help you. Whatever you want, however you want to say it. So, you know, this whole thing about trying to, you know, do what we think God has made us to do, like women, like Mary thinking, you know, Mary is making us women look bad because she's just sitting there on her lazy kabuta at the feet of Jesus, and Jesus just feels obligated to this is hilarious. Jesus feels obligated to talk to her because, you know, he doesn't want to, you know, make her feel bad. But I'm over here, Mary says, I'm doing what Jesus, the Son of God, the Father, created women to do, and that is to be busy in that and have some children. You know, be busy doing that. Busy, busy, busy. And her doing what she thinks that is pleasing him, she doesn't know, but she's kind of like figuring what she's been taught, that this is what women are supposed to do. So that's kind of what we do in our religious circles. We do what we think is making God happy instead of sitting at his feet, right, and listening to him. Sitting at his feet is like sitting at the roots of God, the roots of God. Can you imagine sitting at the roots? You know, the feet are like the part that's walks on the ground, right? That's the part of us that's in the earth. That's when we go our feet. So when you're at Jesus' feet, you are learning about the roots of life. And when you understand the roots of life and the seeds of life and how the roots begin and the earth and the dirt and how it all works, how God made it, then friend, you can do anything. You can be successful. You won't be having to clean your house much. Because you'll have other ways of doing things, you know, and you'll be just like, you know, doing less and getting a lot more done. Hallelujah. I mean, I'm going to take some of that, whether anybody else wants it or not. If you don't want yours, I'll take yours too. Yes, I will. Because it's not about how hard we work, friend. It's about what gets done. And when you're doing what Jesus says to do, guess what? You're getting done what he wants done, what you know he wants done, because he's speaking to you. He's moving you. He's not just getting into the Bible and deciding you're gonna do what the Bible says. Well, we do what the Bible says. God's not going to tell you something to do that's not going to be in the Bible, right? But it's him telling you. It's him showing you. And when you do what he's doing, you're going to be doing stuff that's in the Bible, but you're going to be doing it the way he wants it, the timing that he wants it, and in the manner that he wants it. And when you're through doing it, he says, good job. Let's take a break. You know, you get through at noon, and you're through at noon, and man, most people are working day and night, and sweating and working hard. Why? Because they're trying to figure out, you know, if what pleases God, because they don't really know. They're just reading the Bible and guessing that they're doing it correct. They don't really even know for sure if they are. Right? That's why he says, my sheep know my voice. Because when you walk in his voice, what are you going to do? You're going to do what he says. And that's all you're going to do. When the voice is quiet, you get quiet. The problem is some of us, when the voice is quiet, we're thinking, okay, man, God, it's getting a little, we start getting a little bit nervous. Like, oh, no, I got to be doing something, man. I got to be doing something. Okay, God, I know you're on break, you know, I know you're off for the day, but I'm going to go out here and get some souls saved and do some stuff, and I'm going to get some souls saved. And we run out there, and we witness, and pray, and preach, and prophesy, and do all this stuff, and cast out devils, and heal the sick, and come back, and okay, God, all right, man, I'll see you in the morning, man. I went out there and worked there, and it was really, wow, it's a lot harder without you, but man, we got some stuff done today. Dude, we got some stuff knocked out. Baby, this is fine. Woo! Lord goes, you know what, all this stuff you did? Yeah, I had some stuff for you to do tomorrow that's going to take about 30 minutes to do all that. Instead, you spent like 8, 10, 12 hours doing that. And I had about a 30-minute job. I was going to get you on TV and on radio for, you know, for the day, have an interview. And all those people that got touched to you by day and you had to work hard and spend a lot of money and travel and go and move around. He said, I could have had that done, like, you know, in a 30 minutes or so. And you spent, like, you know, 10, 15 hours. Now you're tired. And now we're going to work together and you're tired and you can't hardly hear my voice because you're so tired. You're taking a break now because you needed to rest from your labor. So now I'm ready to go to work. You're trying to take a break. Now you're taking a break and I'm working. And that's usually the way it happens, friend, with all of us. With all of us. I mean, we're learning. We're learning how to do what the Lord says, only what he says. And the more we learn how to do that, the more we understand how important it is to know his voice and to do his works. And his works, friends, are the only works that we're going to be rewarded for. And the rewards are not just to pad your pocket, to bury a bunch of gold in the backyard that he's giving you on the side. And like, you got to hide it so nobody knows we got it. So all these rewards you got, and I'm not doing it just for those rewards. Well, that's not the purpose of rewards at all. It has nothing to do with the rewards. The rewards are God blessing you for you doing what he says so that you'll have the money and the material and the thing and the blessing and the rest to go out and do tomorrow what he wants you to do tomorrow. And he rewards you with the financials and the favor with people and all the things. The rewards you get are to do his will. And the more you do his will, the more he rewards you with things to do his will. Therefore, pretty soon you're doing so much of his will because you're getting things done. You're working 2 hours and getting stuff done that you didn't get done in 2 years. That's where we're heading. That's where I'm heading. I'm trying to. I'm working on it, literally. That's why I talk about it. That's why I open it up to you. I get blessed when I teach it to you guys and share it with you guys. You know? You know, the more I learn about it, the more I give it away, the more I give away what the Word of God says about it, what Jesus tells me, the more I do what he tells me to do, the more I get done. That's why I believe that, you know, PGN people are going to be people. I know God's talking to me about this, but he's going to have me in the center of everything. Why? That sounds arrogant, Randy, for you to say. I know what it may sound like, but the truth is that God's going to have people who know his voice, and those who know his voice and do what he says and only what he says are going to be in the middle of everything. Why? Because you're so strictly obeying his voice, you're not wearing yourself out and, you know, get in the flesh all the time, right? You're doing exactly what he says. And when he can trust you, who do you think he's going to have in the middle of everything? People who run around working hard, sweating? No, not at all. No, he's going to have those who do exactly what he says, when he says it, how he says it. And when they're through, they take a break and don't feel guilty. They don't feel condemned. A little communion helps with that, by the way. Yeah, so the whole purpose of knowing his voice, the reason we need to talk about knowing his voice, we can know his voice, and so we can give prophetic words to everybody. Well, that too, but, you know, it's more just to know what he's saying to somebody. If I'm listening to his voice, you know, then when he wants me to share with somebody something about him or what he wants them to know, then I'm just doing what he says. I don't have to work and travel and have meetings and sweat. And, you know, I mean, I love going to meetings. I love meetings. I've been going to meetings lately. Yeah. You know, I really enjoy it. But, you know, but God has pulled me aside personally and taught me how to sit behind a computer and minister to people by phone and prophesy and do my job without spending a lot of money on motels and bills and gas and traveling all over the place, you know, and doing the and sitting in one little place for an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours sometimes. Do that, you know, four nights a week. When I'm off, I'm off, other than texting my friends and revelating during the day with different, I have several friends I revelate with. It's really cool, you know. But I'm doing exactly what God told me to pray. He told me to. He said, pray that I work less and make more. to get a lot more done with a lot less effort, basically. Hallelujah. Y'all, it's happening. It's happening because I'm learning that I don't have to sweat it and work hard. And, you know, it's really about now if listening to his voice started making me sweat, which it shouldn't, but if it did, that would be a good sweat. But when you listen to his voice, friend, you're going to be walking in the garden. In the garden, they never sweated. They worked and they didn't sweat. So when you walk in the garden of God inside yourself with him, that means you're listening to his voice and obeying him. And when you do that, when he's working, you're working. If he just says work on the Sabbath, that's the only day you can work, then you're going to get more done on the Sabbath than you will any other time. You'll get more done on the Sabbath more than some people get done 7 days a week. Why? Because he's working with you. And he's doing the work. You're planting and watering, but he's giving the increase, man. And when God's giving the increase, woo-ah, you want some of that. Yeah, that's what you want. That's what we want, right? That's what I want. All right, tonight is prophetic night where we prophesy to everybody. We're going to do that here in just a moment. We're going to go, there's so many different places we can go and things we can say and do that I just, you know, do my best to let the Lord show me what to say and do. I have a lot to say. I have a lot of notes. I have lots of notes with the basic principle of what he's shown me, and sometimes I share those things. You know, I've been on the Martha Mary thing. It seems like I can't get off the Martha Mary thing, right? That's kind of what we got into tonight a little bit. Jesus was being still hearing the voice. Mary was being still hearing the voice of Jesus. And Martha was like, you know, getting in a little bit here and there as she passed through the kitchen, going to the bedroom, make it the bed and make it the kitchen and sweep and vacuum and distracted with being ticked off at Mary because Mary's just sitting there. Making women look bad. Now you're making our family look bad. You're making us, Jesus, normally women don't, we don't sit around like that, you know. We're working. We are workers. We're at it, you know. Mary's just, I don't know, she's having a mental breakdown. I'm not sure what's going on with her. But usually when you're not here, she's pretty busy. You know, she really is. I don't know what it is you're doing to her. Exactly, you got something going on I don't know about. You know, hey, watch out. Yeah. Is that your girlfriend or something? What are y'all doing over there? What's up? You know how, you know, busy people think. They suspicion everybody else. Anyway, no, ain't got that going on. Mary's just sitting at the voice, sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to the root teachings, you know, that personal intimate time. Getting everything about the roots of everything so that when she deals with things later on in life, she's going to go right to the root when Mary be going like buffing and cleaning it off, dusting off the fruit. That's bad. You know, plucking it off and trying to, and then when it grows back the next year, Martha's going like, well, we got to do it all. We got to work hard. Do it all again. Pull the bad fruit off this apple tree here, bearing bad apples. And Mary's going to go, well, Martha, you know, do like I did over here. I just kind of cursed the root. Well, where'd you learn that from? Jesus. Remember when I sat at his feet and you were over there working hard and not paying that much attention and maybe thinking that me and Jesus had something going on and we didn't except intimate fellowship with him in the spirit. That's it. Mary, come on. Martha, keep your mind clear. Don't be going there. Don't be working that mind. People are usually busy, 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 you know. I don't know, man. I mean, I've been there. So you know what it's like. Y'all been around some busy people yourself. So we sit at the feet of Jesus and not worry about what people think about us. The whole fear of man, not just sitting at the feet and acting like you're not doing that and not really doing anything physical. I'm not talking about just that. I'm talking about the overall principle of being afraid of what people think, that I'm just sitting here like Mary was, not making women look bad because women are supposed to be up working and dusting and, you know, doing all kinds of things. And here Jesus is there. Mary is just sitting at the feet of Jesus, not doing a whole lot. But Jesus understood what she was doing. He knew what was going on. And he told Martha, he said, Martha, come on. Hey, you're a hard worker, all right, but yeah, I'm here. I'm not here very often, and you're up moving around. You got the Son of God at your house, and you're, trying to please me by making me think you're really doing what women do instead of doing what real women should do, and that's when I'm here sitting at my feet learning from me. And the fear of man. Like if Mary had the fear of Martha, the fear of man, the fear of people, what people think, she would have been up, doing that too. So we have to get rid of what the fear of what people think that we get rid of them. Let me see if I can say this correctly. We need to get rid of the fear of what people think God wants us doing. Oh, we're not evangelizing like that. That's not the proper way to evangelize. Y'all heard me tell the story about when I worked at the high-rise buildings at the construction company, right, where I walked in there and the Lord said, take the money in your real phone and give it to him and hand it to this heathen of heathens. Even the heathen people called him heathen. And I walked into the where he was working and his part of the, we were working in high-rise buildings, remodeling them, building them, that kind of thing. And so I walked in there and I did exactly what the Lord said. Listen to this. I just thought about this. I'm sitting there painting a door jamb in an office doing my job, right? The Lord says, because I've been evangelizing those guys for a while, but I've been working really hard and sweating, getting accused a lot, but not getting a whole lot done, kind of frustrated going, God, I feel like I need to do my job better. What's going on? How come these guys aren't saved? What's happening? And then watch what God does. Wow. Thank you, Jesus, for this. So he says, take the money in your billfold, which I wasn't sure how much was in there. It was scary. And he said, walk in there where they are and hand him the money in your billfold and tell him you want to pray for him. So I walked in there and I said, hey, man, Adrian, I pulled the money in my billfold. Thank God it was only 10 bucks. And instead of 100 or something, he might have taken it. I handed him the 10 bucks. And I said, hey, you can have this 10 bucks if I can put my hand on your head for 3 minutes. That's what I said. And if nothing happens to you, then you can have the $10. He goes, okay. Literally, he said, okay. Sticks the money in his billfold. He just made fun of me that morning, literally that morning, very morning, made fun of me as we were standing outside getting ready to come into work. He literally said, what'd you do last night, Chandler? Go to church and pray? We were out drinking and partying. You should have over there. He literally made fun of me. So I went right to him, right? That was the very same morning. And I handed him a $10 bill and said to him that very thing. I've never said anything like that in my life. Never done anything. That, to me, was not the evangelism that I learned. And I evangelized a lot. I preached in the streets. I went door to door. I'd wait for people to come in and out of grocery stores and win them to Jesus or try to. And the Kmart at the time. And other stores, I would go in any store. And I was an evangelist. So I'd never had any teaching and sharing on it. You take $10 out and you hand it to one of the heathen of heathens and say, if I can put my hand on your head for 3 minutes and nothing happens, you can keep that $10. Now, that was not in my book. I had never heard that from anybody, but that's what the voice of God. Now, watch this, y'all. The voice of God spoke that to me like I'm talking to you inside my heart. I went in there and did what he said do. I've been trying to win those guys to the Lord for several months with literally, they were wanting to fire me because I was such a constant talker about Jesus to all of them. Who could blame them, right? Being a heathen, that's what I would have done the same thing. So no results. I walk in there, do something never done in my life, didn't even know what I was doing, never heard of this stuff. It was totally spontaneous. The voice of God was speaking to me. And I handed to him, and I started praying over. I put my hand on his head, literally. And there were seven or eight other guys standing around, and I said, in the name of Jesus, God, I ask you to save him, deliver him, Jesus' name. And when I said Jesus' name a couple of times, he said, He pulled out the $10. He handed it to him. He said, "No Jesus, no Jesus." That's exactly what he said to the Spanish guy. "No Jesus, no Jesus." Well, that didn't work very good, I didn't think. All right, so I did the $10. I said, "Anybody else want to take me up on this?" This is literally, God is my witness, I'm not exaggerating. "Anybody else want to take me up on this?" And Jesse down the far left-hand side, he said, I will. He's a really nice, they were all Spanish guys, Mexican guys, and really nice guy. Jesse was a very tender type of person, very good person. Heathen, but, you know, good heathen and kind and generous. And so I went to, he said, "I'll take you up on it." So I went over there and handed him $10. He said, "No, you don't have to give me the $10. Just go ahead and pray for me. Just go ahead and do that thing to me." He said, "Do that thing to me." I said, "Okay," I prayed for him. He starts buckling at the knees. He'd never been, I don't think he'd ever, he wasn't a church person. He didn't know anything about God. And so I said, I prayed for 3 minutes, all I knew to pray. The power of God was all over him, right? Amazing. And I got through and I prayed everything I knew in 3 minutes. And I said, "You know what? Anything happened?" It's about the $10 thing, right? He said, "Man," he said, "Randy, it's like the blood was running out of my knees." That's literally what he said. You could tell that he didn't even have a clue what he was talking about. The blood running out of your knees. In other words, he was buckling at the knees a little bit. He didn't fall over or anything, but that's what he said. I went, "Well, okay, give me the $10 back." And I took the $10, looked at everybody, and walked away. Like, you know, that's just what I did. I don't know what I was thinking about. Went back to painting the door to him. All of a sudden, I hear all these guys just talking. And they were in this big center area of the big high-rise building, and I heard him in there. They said, Randy. So I went in there. Make a long story short, they had talked Adrian in. They got $50 together themselves. These are all heathen guys, all, you know, none of them knew Jesus as their Savior. And they all heathen, drinking, partying all the time, cussing, smoking, doing all the things I used to do, right? Yeah. And they had raised $50, and they said, "Adrian wants you to do that." I said, "Well, no, I already asked Adrian." "Adrian, you know, do you want me to do this? Because I'm not going to force you to." He said, "Oh, okay, I'll do it." You know, so I was going to pray over him, right? As I got to pray, put my hand on his head, he leaned over these big trash cans, what they call a gondola, leaned over it and bent over, and I knocked his hat off into the trash can in the big gondola, and I put my hand on his head, and the power of God hit him like, woo, man, it was like hot. And the air conditioning was on in there, it was an air conditioned room. And I felt the fire of God feeling going through my arm. He stood up after 3 minutes, and he's red, and he's looking, and everybody else was looking, and we're all looking at like, what's going on? I said, "Well, what happened?" He said, "Man," "it's like fire. So he said, "What is that?" He literally said, "What is that?" Because it was so tangible from Jesus. And I pointed my little bony finger at him, and I said, "That's the love of Jesus, because he loves you. He's showing you his love." And, man, he lifted his hand. When I said it was Jesus who he had rejected earlier, he literally, in front of these guys at work, the Spanish brothers are very proud of being who they are. He lifted his hands, was weeping and crying out with a loud voice saying, Jesus, just like that. I mean, crying out loud. He wasn't going, Jesus. I mean, he was hollering, Jesus, while hot tears were flowing down his cheeks. That literally happened, y'all. It was amazing. I've been trying to evangelize those guys for months, just about every day. I'm a very persistent person, just about every day. I'm literally... And they didn't like seeing me coming, you know. I didn't preach a hell message to them. I preached a love message. My message has always been love. I said, "Man, you know, he loves you and he died for you and he wants you to know him. You can know Jesus and he'll forgive you of all your sins. He really loves you." That was my main message. And if anybody ever told you about Jesus, that was the main thing I talked about. And so, you know, in all those months of working hard and, you know, and I'm not saying what I did was necessarily wrong or bad or religious so much, but it's that one moment I obeyed the voice of God. And that one moment I obeyed the voice of God and did something I've never done in my life that was against my own rules, taking money as a preacher and handing the sinner money and saying, if I, you can have this $10 if I put my hand on your head for 3 minutes and nothing happens to you. That's literally what I said. I didn't even say I was going to pray over him. I just said, I'm going to put my hand on your head, and if nothing happens to you for 3 minutes and nothing happens to you, you can have the $10. That's what I said. Never done that, never thought about that, never offered people money for anything. We're usually taking up offerings, not giving it away, right? Especially to heathen. This guy was lost as a goose in a hailstorm. Even the heathen people said he was a heathen. This was all put on television. Later, I had the video still of the actual testimony when they came out and they did we just redid the whole thing, literally, and they videoed the whole thing. Marcus Lamb and Joni Head and Binion, what's his name, Bobby Binion came out and orchestrated it, and the camera people and the whole thing. Yeah, they reenacted the whole thing. It was amazing, and that all happened with the listening to the voice of God one time and got more done. Y'all, I just thought about this. This was not pre-planned message. Just thought of this. All came together tonight. And in less than a few minutes, I don't know how long exactly it was, 15 minutes by the time it all happened, maybe 20, 25, something like, maybe less, probably less than that. All of a sudden, the whole thing turned around, literally. And for the next 3 to 3.5 years, I don't know exactly the timing, but it was, year after year. And revival went on in that place. I'm talking literally at the workplace during work, mainly during breaks. And they would sneak into my room where I'd be working. This literally, God is my witness, literally. They would sneak into my room where I'd be painting and working, painting the walls and doing mud work. And they'd say, hey, Brother Randy, you think you could pray for me today? I'm having a hard time. I go, yeah, I would love to pray for you. Other than that, I stay busy all the time. But that happened a few times. But I just made sure that I worked hard and made up for it, right? And that literally happened. Went up for, I don't know exactly the timing, but it was three and a half years, something like that. And, it was all because I listened to the voice of God to do something that I've never done before, ever. It was mind-boggling. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. The way that came together tonight, that is awesome. My Lord and my God. Wow. The Lord was just trying to teach me something. That was more for me than anybody right there, what we just went through. That was more for me. So y'all got in on a little bit, but it cost a little bit of time. But thank you for listening. I hope you got something out of it too. Wow, 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 wow. That is amazing. Amazing. Literally amazing. All right. Thank you all for being with us tonight. We're going to pray and prophesy over you tonight. We're going to pray for you. And when I pray for people, I prophesy over them. It's just what I do. If I had a healing ministry, a strictly healing ministry, if I prayed over you, I'd pray healing over you, right? But since I am a prophet and I prophesy, my prayers over you always flow out as prophetic words, words of knowledge, all right, from the Lord. And so literally amazing in the grace of God working in behalf of his people. Really, really awesome. Wow, 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 wow. All right. Man, I just got that message tonight. Just really was, I think that was for me. And I'm serious. Man, I got that. Wow. Okay. All right, let's go through here and I'll tell you where you're at in line. Just so you know, in case you lose your place in line, you can let me know. If I don't call your number by the time as I go through. Carmen says, I'll take a big chunk of that. Well, me too, girl. Me too. My Lord, I don't know what you're talking about exactly. We talk about a lot of things, but yes, blessed be the name of the Lord. I will take it. And I felt that tonight. Man, I felt the power of God on that. God was speaking to me about that. All right. My first caller tonight is 662. And my second caller is 940. I'm going to give it, call it the numbers. Hang on a second. Then 940, then 769, and then 111, that is Carmen there, then 754, then 202, 915, 610, 912 with the 318, 2, then 325, 240, then 478, 912, the 2720. 214, the 3 on it, 612, 402, 903, and then 303, and 863 with the 268 on it. Then the rest of you don't have your hand up. Okay. All right. Three or four of you don't have your hand up. Okay. All right. Letting you know. All right. 662. Let's go to you first. Let's see who we're talking to. What 662? Who am I talking to? Where you from, please?
Hi, Randy. This is Cynthia from Mississippi.
Hi, Cynthia. Good to have you. All right. I got to do just like Cynthia did. She is a very familiar person with what we do. She, you notice I asked her what her name is and where she's from, even though I already knew it was. She said, Cynthia from Mississippi. She could have said, Randy, you know who this is. I went, yeah. It's just the way we do it on Wednesdays. Thank you, Cynthia, for doing that for me. I appreciate it. All right. So, Cynthia, we thank you, Lord, for Cynthia. God, I thank you for the avenues in her brain, like God opening up avenues in your mind. He's expanding your mind. Sometimes when we go through battles, when we go through struggles, when we feel like we're coming up short in what we need to do, what we need to be, you know, I mean, I think I feel like that most of the time, like I feel like I'm coming up short. I think that's something God does in those of us that are hungry for him, that we never quite feel like we're doing enough. And really what we find out what that means is really doing enough means doing exactly what he says. And no more, no less. And once we start doing things that are not him, then we end up having to add to that. Like, okay, I started that yesterday, even though God wasn't with me. You know, it was a spiritual thing. It was in the Bible, but God wouldn't necessarily tell me to do it, but I did anyway. And now I got to keep up with that, right? So that's what we end up getting caught up into. I know, you know, I'm asking God to show me anything I'm not doing that's of him, because we work ourselves to death with things that if we focus on the one thing God tells us to do, whatever that is, you know, it could be different every day, that the little bit that we do, it becomes a lot, right? That little bit becomes a lot. And the things we try to do extra to, you know, we're not doing enough for God, end up messing us up. So God has to show us what doing more for him means. And it simply means one thing, Cynthia, as you already know. It means that we do exactly what he says and no more and no less, right? Do what he says. And unless he's testing us to see if we will, you know, do things for him at times, that does happen, where he says, you know, give whatever you want to give. Do whatever you want to do in this situation, but work on this situation. Spend as much time as you want to spend on it. And if God tells us to do that, then that's different. But if he says, when you get this done today, and then when you get through with that, it's with my help, then that's all you got to do. And that we realize that totally satisfied God, that we've done all we can do. It took 5 minutes or 5 hours or 15 minutes, like in my case when I did that evangelist thing. you know, with that I've been witnessing for, you know, 6, 8, 9 months. I don't know how long it was, months. And then in one day, on a Saturday, getting paid overtime. But that day, I heard the voice of God speaking in my spirit to go do that thing with the money with that guy. And it changed everything. In a few moments, everything completely turned around. It wasn't like some special grace fell. It's like I just obeyed the voice of God. I mean, you can call it special grace, I guess, if you want, but I just obeyed the voice of God. And I went in there and, you know, I did that and what God told me to do and didn't even know what I'm doing. I'm feeling uncomfortable. I'm feeling like, you know, why am I doing this? I've never done this before. This is stupid. If one of my theologian friends found out I was doing this, they'd be calling me up saying, Randy Chandler, what are you doing giving people money? What's wrong with you? Have you flipped your wigs? You got it backward, boy. Turn it around. Stop that stuff and raise some money for the kingdom. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just didn't make any sense to me, even. You know, I was a professional evangelist in my own right, you know, in my own way, personal experience. So it's like, wow, I did one thing that God said. Man, if we could just do one thing a week that God says, it'd be better if we did do one thing a day, right? Or did not one thing, but the thing. Oh, man, just think the breakthrough. So that's what we search for. That's what we look for. That's what we're longing for. It's not, you know, doing more things for God, but doing the things that God wants us to do. So, Lord, I ask you to just agree together, Cynthia, on this. Let's just pray. I'll pray with you. We can pray together, and I'm believing God, too. And everybody else want to pray this prayer. Say, dear Jesus, help me do what you ask me to do. Help me do what you're speaking to me to do and only that. And then just believe you to show me again what you want to do. You know, wake me up in the middle of the night. I worked for 2 hours for you, got more done in that 2 hours than got done in months and years before and working hard and laboring. And then you wake me up in the middle of the night, have me pray for something for 5 minutes. I don't have to stay up all night. You know, sometimes people, this has happened to me. God will get me up. He'll wake me up in the middle of the night and say, I want you to intercede. So I intercede and pray, and I get a breakthrough. And then I start feeling guilty, like, okay, I only prayed like 15 minutes, and it broke through. Like, maybe I should work a little harder. And it's like the Lord, now I look back, the Lord's saying, like, what are you doing, Randy? Go back to sleep, boy. What are you doing? You know, 15 minutes, that's all. You know, just with me, 15 minutes with me was like, you could have prayed all night long, and I got that done. 15 minutes, 15 seconds with me. It's like 15 hours and 15 days and 15 weeks with other people. Just do what I say. Come and agree with me and agree with that. And watch me work. You're going to sweat a lot less, Chandler. Yes, sir, God. Teach me how to do that. That's what I want. That's what I want. Not how much harder can I work for you. Not how much more can I do for you. It's doing what you want me to do, right? Yeah, it's a new thought. It's a new thought. Isn't that amazing? It's a new thought. Yes, it is. But it's a good one. All right, 940-224. Who am I talking to, friend, please? 940-224, are you there? All right, and that's Michael from Texas. All right, Michael, let's pray over you. Thank you, Lord, for Michael tonight. Father, thank you for giving him peace, God, that being a servant means to you're serving the Lord, not serving people. We're serving God. And God always serves people. He always serves the earth. He always, you know, serving God doesn't mean just we serve people. Sometimes serving God means we, you know, like Adam and Eve served by hoeing and, you know, grooming the garden. That was their work, grooming the garden. And because the blessing was on the earth, that there was not much else to do, but just, you know, I'd like to know exactly what they did. Wouldn't you, Mike? You listen to this later. What was their work in the garden? I mean, come on. I'd like to know exactly what that was. Yeah, so me too. So anyway, so God's speaking to you and showing you, you know, that your labor for serving God means we serve people. We serve people, you know, when we go to work for people, we become a good testimony by doing doing our best to hear from God about how to make sure we become a blessing to those people, right? When we make sure we're a blessing to those people, guess what happens? We become like Jacob, who made sure he was a blessing. He was a blessing. And what happened? His crooked father-in-law said, man, I'm blessed because of Jacob. You know why? Because Jacob believed God to bless him in everything he did. And when he was doing it for his father-in-law, when he had the job of doing it for his father-in-law, who was crooked, his father-in-law later came back and said, man, you know, I was blessed because of you. And Jacob ended up with most of the sheep and most of the other, because he did a little few things here and there. But his father-in-law still got so blessed. How much more was Jacob blessed? But he worked hard under the Lord for his and God blessed his stepfather, crooked stepfather. It's not stepfather, father-in-law. Sorry, stepfather, father-in-law. Sorry, father-in-law. Yeah, and his wife's father. And so because of that, you know, he was so blessed, even though he didn't get all the blessings. Jacob got most of them because he did stuff, like I said earlier, where he put the sticks up and cut little things on there where they had all the sheep became striped and, you know, spotted. And usually there's not very many of those, but he did some things with God's favor on him that changed all that. Right? And still the father-in-law was so blessed that he said, because of you, I'm blessed. That's blessed, man. So when we do our best to bless those that we work for and labor for, then they go like, man, you know, I'm blessed because of Michael. Why? Because he doesn't just do what he thinks he ought to be doing for himself. He works under God, and God blesses him. And therefore, we count him a blessing. And let that be with every relationship that he has, Father, Jesus, amen. All right, 769-220, who am I talking to with Trump, please?
Andrika in Georgia.
Hey, Andrika. All right, Andrika. Thank you, Andrika. Good to be with you. All right, Andrika. Yeah. Yeah, there's some of these teachings, I'm telling you, that God's given us, Andrika, that, like tonight, that was totally just, you know, for me, I went there without even realizing where I was going. And I know that you know, in your heart for God, how many times I've spoken over you that the head and not the tail. Well, head and not the tail, I think God's just going to try to expand on what that means for you, is that the very thing we're talking about tonight, is that we do what God says. When we do what God says, you know, we get blessed. When we do what God says, God blesses us, because we're not just doing what we think is right. Now, sometimes we just do what we think is right, but in the meantime, we're seeking God, right, about what he's saying we should do. Like with me in that situation that went, ended up going global. Just think about that. I did one thing that God told me to after evangelizing for 6 to 8 months every day. They hated me, basically. They didn't like me a whole lot. I just say that. They wanted to get rid of me, that's for sure, because I was persistent. And, you know, and then one day, after no results, God gave me results from that one thing. I feel like there's something about that with you, that so we do what we know to do, right? Constantly, just like me, I was doing what I knew to do. I spoke to them every day about Jesus. I could tell stories about that, how they would put me off on jobs where I'd be by myself because I didn't talk ugly or rude or anything. I just talked like, hey, man, you know, Jesus loves you and really cares about you. That was my message. And I didn't tell them they had devils and, you know, going to hell. I just talked about the love of Jesus. And so, so there was stuff going on. So the whole time, you know, and then when God gave me that one word, then they all started trying to find me. Then they all wanted to work with me. That was just totally backwards. It just like it turned around in a few seconds because of what God had me do. And so I did everything I knew to do with little result. And then suddenly God gives Andrika some strategy, some something to do, an act of a prophetic act, or something that you do that's going to unlock what happened to me. All of a sudden, I went from, you know, feeling like I'm a pastor, an evangelizing pastor for years, had a healing ministry, you know, all kinds of things going on. And all of a sudden now I moved to a different city, Dallas, and I didn't have any ministry, so I had to go to work to take care of my family, right? And thinking, you know, am I going to do this the rest of my life? I'm not going to go back to the ministry. I'm locked over here in this thing. Oh, God. And, you know, so I tried to evangelize my way out of it, basically doing what I knew to do. And yet God says in one time, and so one moment, all of a sudden my name was being proclaimed around the earth, around America, and all over the place, because everywhere Marcus Lamb went, he took that testimony of me with him. Yeah. I mean, this happened like overnight. Woo! Are you feeling that, girl? Yeah. Yeah. Oh, Jesus. Sikaparoha. I didn't know I had you on there. I honest to God, did not know I had you still on. I mean, as far as your audio. Opo se qua pare papa na hota va kride shingroto. Impart your word, your voice. It's all about the voice of God. It's not about doing some spectacular thing that gets attention. I mean, that guy definitely got attention. But I was doing what God told me to do. I did that little thing that I've never done, that seems so backward, seems so odd, seems so un-evangelistic as an evangelist. Oh, aloha! And in one moment, they were coming to me. They were asking me. They were looking for me. They went from rejecting me to couldn't keep around me enough. Honest to God, that happened. They would sneak. They would be working in some other part of the building. And we worked in these huge buildings. They would come all the way up the elevator, and they would find me, and they said, Randy, you know, I just want to, can you like, pray for me? Can you, like, pray for my family? And I mean, they would sneak in there. It happened a lot. A lot. A whole lot. Went on for about three and a half years. Turned around in a twinkling of an eye because I obeyed the voice of God. One time. Hallelujah. Shikiri Boroha. And now they're bringing cameras out to my job. Marcus and Daystar Network brought those cameras out. Bobby Binion, who sings right there on the show, the little bearded guy with the, and looking a little older now, Bobby Binion. The Binion's brother. You know, Binion, the worship leaders, Binion's. Nicole and what's his name? Nicole and David Binion, David Bennett, whatever the names are. That's her brother. Her brother's the one that came out there and did the interview and did the reenactment. He ran the camera crew. Yeah, that was Bobby. And, I mean, that just happened like boom. Lord, I don't know what's going on. It don't take some special teaching. I mean, I just obeyed the voice of God. God, open her up, God. And she does everything she knows to do, just like I did. Did my thing. I did what I needed to do. I was obeying you the best I could. Not really sure if I was obeying you or not. Hoping I was. Surely this pleases God that I'm trying to win these people to Christ. But was I really obeying? I don't know. I'm not sure. I did what I needed to do. And then one day God speaks to me and says, do this. Not having a clue, girl. Not having a clue that everything was going to turn around on a dime just like that. Just like that, the most unorthodox thing, but it was the voice of God. Open up her spiritual womb and let her conceive this word, my God, tonight in the name of Jesus. And do that thing, whatever that is, thank God, that God's voice. Hallelujah. Open. Don't just seek him, just like we talked about last night. A lot of people seek, and they're known as, oh, that person, they're the best seekers in town. They seek God like that. But do they ever find? So I'd rather just say I'm seeking him and finding, seek and finding, right? Instead of seeking, and maybe find. Hallelujah. Oh, man. Ukubari. All right, Andrika, thank you. That was sweet, man. All right, 111, I think. Am I talking to your respond, please?
This is Carmen from Texas.
Hey, Carmen. My new health friend. Yeah, the health lady. They're calling, calling you the health woman. What kind of health do you need? Well, let's see. I need mental health. Okay, we got some of that over here, yeah. Need some physical health. You got any of that? Yeah. Got all different flavors of that. We have signs and wonders. We have food and, you know, God food. Yeah. You got any money? Yeah. Give it a shabby given. Hallelujah. I don't know what you're going to do tonight. Dear God, dear Jesus, dear Heavenly One, Heavenly Lord Jesus, my Lord and my God, who is alive and well today in planet Earth, amen, and Randy Chandler, that I'm here, Carmen is here, to be in health, even as her soul is in health. To prosper and be in health, even as her soul prospers. Hallelujah, that you will make that a living reality in her like never before, God, at a whole nother level. Amen. Prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. May that come alive to her in ways, in new ways, at new levels, in Jesus' name, that people see her coming and they just start thinking, oh, yeah, okay, whatever she says, I'm going to do it. Whatever she says, I'm going to do it. Amen. And Jesus said, my mothers and brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. And do it. Because it's the doing that brings health. You know, it frustrates me even as a prophet to say you give people word from the Lord. You know, I talk about certain areas like really highly supernatural classified information plans about the market, about the stock market and about business. And I give information about it that's purely from God that contradicts everything every person is saying in the business world. And what, you know, I get from God, you know, because I don't know. Comes to pass, and the information they gave, you know, doesn't, and yet people still keep listening to them. It so grieves me. I can understand a little bit of how Moses felt when the children of Israel just kept, you know, watching God do miracle after miracle and still being a stubborn bunch of donkeys. If I've done it myself, that's one reason I can understand. Even when God tells me stuff, I have to get some signs and wonders to follow it to kind of make sure I know that he means, you know, hey, are you really saying it to me, right? Yeah, so when I started understanding that if I struggled with it until I knew, how can we expect other people to not struggle with it? They're going to struggle with it until God shows them. So we need to plant the seed, water, and let God give the increase. Amen. And pretty soon when the increase comes, we need to be there for them. When that increase comes, when the people start going, man, what was that you said that time? What was that you said? Because now they're ready. Because you planted, you watered, and when God starts giving the increase, then they start getting hungry, wanting no more. We got to be there for them and ready for that moment. That's why people have to be patient with their callings and their ministries, even as parents and as farmers. Even as farmers, Jesus taught about farming, when we plant seed and water, you know, we got to be patient. You learn. It's just part of life. You go plant seed and water it and, you know, you dig the rows. You plow up and you do all the stuff and you plant and you water. And then you go, you know, do something else. Go plow another field. Go shopping. Go visit with your friends. And go up the next day and do your work and then go piddle around. Do something else. You know, learning how it works and be patient with it. And give it time, knowing that that's the way it works and that it will work. Every time as a farmer, when I planted a seed, I knew it was going to come up. As long as I watered it, as long as I planted it, right, and watered it, and the sunshine came out, yeah, it was going to grow. It's going to grow. How many times we got to plant a garden or plant some flowers and just wonder every day, oh, God, is that going to grow? Is it going to come back? You know, like we do sometimes, you know? So I think God's going to start giving you pair of those things where people can understand, where you will understand that we plant and we water, but we have to wait for God to do the increase. And when he does, when that plant grows up, then they start going, oh, that's what Carmen, God used Carmen. God used Carmen to plant. God used Carmen to water. God gave the increase, but he used her. Now let's talk to her. Let's communicate with her. Let's find out what more she has. Because the harvest does come. We'll get to be patient for it. Amen. That's what Scripture says. And when it comes back. Amazing. All right. You're going to have a harvest, girl. Just get ready. All right, 754-240. You might talk to your phone, please. All right, 754-240. Are you there? This Donald and Tanya. Let's see if they're on down here somewhere. No, they're not. All right. So I'm pretty sure that's them. All right. Thank you, Donald and Tanya. We thank you, Lord, for I was thinking about that scripture. We know we talked. We got on last night. And we talked and shared a little bit. Really awesome stuff. And it just really encouraged me, Donald, to talk to you about this thing because, you know, I went on the show last night. It happens a lot here, but from different ways, happens with different people in different ways. When somebody shares something with me that's revelatory, it stirs up my revelatory, you know, breaking of the bread and the word of God. And I start getting more stuff, and then they start getting more stuff, and it starts this acceleration of multiplication. And so that happens to hear us here on the show. Like, you know, you experience that too, just like I did last night and many other times, where we watch God literally multiply or increase the word while we're talking about it. We break it together, share it with each other, and we start getting more understanding, more wisdom, more what that means. Never thought about that before. Look at that, got that. And it just multiplies. And so God's trying to, you know, show you and get this from understanding how it works between us here on the show, and I'm sure you with other people too in your personal life, but, you know, how that works in your financial realm, how that works in your favor realm, how that works in every other area of life where we've learned how to break the bread somehow and give it and bless and believe God for the multiplication and increase. That it's not in receiving or getting something from somebody always, as much as it is giving. That's why I said the Bible says it is more blessed to give. Give what? That's when we talk about giving the word away. It is more blessed to give. I wish some of the preachers that I know of would get a hold of that. They just like they're, you know, that's for everybody else. More blessed for you to give the sheep, but not me, right? No, it's more blessed for me to give than it is to receive, because in the giving is where the multiplication takes place, right? Where you can receive more. So what's the blessed part of it? Giving. Then you receive, then you give more, receive more. It's a process. That's the way it works. So God, show Tanya and show Donald that, Father. Let them walk in that. Let them live in that between each other in their relationship, God. And then when we break bread of things that are not healthy, when we break bread between each other of things that are in the flesh or you know, we're tired, we're saying stuff we shouldn't be saying, That bread multiplies, and you know we get one revelation after the other in the negative. See, every year, I don't know any husband and wife that doesn't got that going on sometimes. People try to act like, no, we never have any of that. Yeah, right. You're not a human being. Mm-hmm. So we're human beings, and we realize that we can break bread in the wrong way and get that multiplying. We get ideas on how to say something back when our mate says something to us, and we get I just thought of something I'm going to say to you, and we say it, and they say, well, I just got something I'm going to say to you, and we get into this big, you know, so it goes both ways, right? It does. It goes both ways, man. Come on. Woo, that's the way it goes. So thank you, Lord, for teaching us how to keep it in the good flow, amen, to break bread, the good things in the good flow. And God, help me, and forgive me, Lord, for the times I haven't done that, because I have done that. I have broken the bread the wrong way. And brother, does it ever multiply and increase quickly, right? And pretty soon you're both getting so much revelation, but it is not the good stuff from God. It's like, yeah, we tear each other down, don't know it, and hurt each other sometimes. We just do it. I've done it. You'll do it. We do it. We just open about it and honest about it and get it out in the open. Amen. And so God teaching you guys how to move in the multiplication realm in every area, in your finances, in every area. Amen. Knowing that, why is it more blessed to give? Because preachers need the money, and it's a great way to get blessed. Well, whatever, not really. But the truth is that it's just more blessed to get because you activate the blessing of God on your life. You know, whatever it is, emotion, sharing your emotions with somebody, sharing your time. Amen. Breaking it and giving it away. 202-722, who am I talking to you from, please?
Hey, Randy, this is Daryl Paul from Maryland and Nicole from D.C.
Hey, Daryl. Daryl.
Yes, sir.
Daryl, are you there? Listen, can I ask you a personal question?
Yes,
okay.
You can.
Does Nicole, does she just like take a nap, you know, and take a and while you're doing this, and you have to work while she's sleeping? Is that kind of how this goes?
Randy, she's only fallen asleep one time, but I do have. This is my job.
Oh. No excuses. No, only the men are talking tonight. Go ahead, Nicole. You're special. Okay, go ahead. Say something.
I was just saying, I'm here on the three-way too.
Okay. I got you. I think I believe that. Actually, I do. All right, I had to nail you guys, man. Yeah, I had to nail you guys. Thank God we can have fun. Thank God we can enjoy. We're family, right? We are family. We are family. We are connected. We are connected. Woo! Man, I felt the power of God on that. Did y'all feel that too? I mean, I don't know. You may not have, but I did. Maybe I just needed that, but I felt the power of God all over that. Literally. I mean, I really did. The blessing of God on that, like electricity. Seriously, it's like Daryl Paul says, be blessed, Brother Chandler, and the Holy Ghost comes all over your son. That's what even though he didn't say that, and I'm sure he thinks that, I'm sure, but it's like, that's what I felt like he was doing, like, you know, just interacting with you guys. Wow, that's sweet. That's sweet Jesus stuff, man. Lord, I thank you for that blessing on their life, and I'll receive that blessing from them. Woo, man, my Lord, that is sweet Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, for your blessing on them. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for that blessed love energy and that energy of love, the energy of fellowship, that energy of enjoying, being able to be like children and just laugh and giggle and have fun and be silly and be serious at the same time and talk about serious things and talk about, be silly and be childlike. Thank you, Lord, for all the different levels that Nicole and Daryl Paul can enjoy each other and bring out of each other the beauty of the full nature of who they are in every area, the full parts of them. Every part of them can come forth and express itself without feeling like, you can't do that. Don't talk to me like, you can't have that much fun around me. You can't giggle like that. You can't, whatever the thing would be, you can't do that. To let their full personality, to let the full them, good, bad, and ugly, all of it. And we look at each other and go, man, I love you. You are blessed. I love your good stuff. I love your bad. In fact, I love some of your bad stuff as much as I love some of your good stuff, because you're nothing Nicole has any bad stuff, of course. We know that. But I'm just making stuff up, right? yeah. I mean, I love all your stuff, right? Yeah. So when we do that, we accept people the way they are and love them where they are and fellowship with them in that. Then the blessing of God is there. And then if God wants to change something in us, he does it. And I learned to love the quirks that I see in people. Some of the things that some people irritate other people, I look at it like, you know, I really kind of enjoy that little quirk that they have that irritates other people. I kind of think it's kind of cute, kind of cool, kind of nice, kind of like, you know, unique, you know, like, yeah. So thank you, Lord, for that and that blessing in their life, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, you never know. All right. 915-248. Who am I talking to you from, please?
Randy, this is Daniel from Texas.
Oh, hey, Daniel. All right. Good to have you, Daniel. All right. My blessed brother, Daniel. Thank you, Lord, God's going to call you, you know, when I'm speaking by the Lord, it's like stuff coming out of my mouth before I even know. My blessed Daniel, like that's what the Lord's saying to you. My blessed Daniel. Woo, man, the love of God for you, bro, is like God is trying to take his love you know, the height and the width and the breadth and the length of the love of God. Whoa, man, he's pouring his love in you. He's pouring his love in you so you can give his love to other people, even give it to yourself. I see God causing you to see his love towards you like you've never seen before. I mean, we all know God loves us when we're born again, but to see how God loves you more than you've ever seen before in new ways. And because we are his children, we're not illegitimate bastards, you know, that barely make it and like we stumble in and crawl around on the floor because we're so unworthy. And we're his children, and he enjoys us. He likes us. It's like I enjoy, like I'm a Nicole and Darryl Paul, you know, like they enjoy each other. Like we're family. We're family. We're his child. You are his son, Daniel. And to show you that dearly beloved part, how he looks at you and thinks about you, and I see you receiving that love like never before. And you know why, bro? It's because God's calling you to give that love to other people, as you already know. You are called and chosen to give love away. And love can be correcting somebody, but in a fatherly way, and knowing, you know, you're talking to one of God's baby dolls, you know, one of his children, one of his, you know, he's really in love with his children, man, and using you and how he's in love with you, as showing you his love is inside you for you. The Bible says to love your neighbor as yourself. So when you love yourself, whole thing about loving yourself, it's not selfish. That becomes the avenue in which God can pour his love through us, because he can, the more we let him, the more we love ourselves with his love, or we let him love us. It's really about letting God love us. And the more we let him love us, guess what? The more love we have to give away. The bigger, the broader, the higher, the more of the breadth of the love of God, the height of love, the depth of the love of God, the length of the love of God, the love of God pouring through you, bro. You know what? And when love's flowing, miracles happen. All kinds of miracles. God's using you. Why? Because you love people. When you love people, the gifts of the Spirit will flow through you like a river because of love. You don't even go, oh, that was a gift of the word of knowledge. That was a gift of healing. No, you just said that's God's love, man. He's touching people because he loves them. And the bigger we let God, the higher, the wider, the breathier, all those words, the deeper we let God love us, the more it can flow through us. So Jesus, I thank you for my brother that you're teaching him and you're teaching me. You're really trying to teach us this thing to let God love us. He said the Bible says, 1 John, that we love because he first loved us. That's what the Bible says. We love. Look, you can Google that. We love because he first loved us. Wow, that's called first love. First love. Don't lose our first love, Jesus. Help us keep our first love, and that is letting you love us. Our first love, Daniel, is letting him love us. That's it. That's really, truly how we keep that first love. It's not by how much we love God, but it's how much we let him love us. And therefore, we love him with that love, and we love others. Hallelujah. What's a love message tonight? Whoa, something going on with that. My God. In the name of Jesus, my Lord and my God. Like Thomas did, you know. Blessed. Some people think Thomas was some carnal. He was not carnal. Are you kidding me? Thomas laid his life down. He just was the kind of person, Daniel. Thomas, the way I see Thomas, maybe a little bit different from some people. I see Thomas as a person who Jesus warned them when he was walking with them. He said, don't believe everybody that comes along and says, you know, I'm him, I'm there, because they're going to come and they're going to say, I'm the Lord, I'm going to be everywhere. And Jesus taught them all, do not just listen to what everybody says, say, it's me, it's the Lord. He said, be careful of that, Thomas. Thomas took that serious. So when they were all saying, yeah, the Lord's risen, he's going like, yeah, I don't know, man. I believe when I see it. And when he said that, he was saying that he was being careful, that he knew that what just happened, that everybody says what's happened, was truly from God, and they weren't just, he knew how flaky his brothers were. Right? He knew how goofy they can be, how they can be up 1 minute and down, and they argued along the way, along the road all the time, according to what the Word of God says. They were just human beings. They were human beings, right? Who's going to be the greatest and all the whole thing? We do the same thing. We're not careful. We do it maybe too much. But we find out that, you know, that people are people. And that Thomas was just like, I'm not sure, but these, you know, I haven't seen Jesus yet, so I'm not sure. He said, be careful. So what happened? Jesus heard his voice, his pure cry for reality of what God is and isn't doing. That's what he wanted. That's all I think Thomas wanted. And when Jesus heard that cry, you know what happened, bro? You know what happened, Daniel? He came walking through a wall just for Thomas. And he didn't say, Thomas, you are stupid, man. What is wrong with you, doubting? No, he said, Thomas, here I am. Touch me. See that it's me. What they're saying? Yeah. And I told you to be careful. And because you were being careful, here I am to show you myself. And that's what I see going on with you, Daniel. God's going to show. It's not going to be what everybody else says. What everybody else says is good. It gets us stirred up. It gets us wondering. Gets us thinking, is that really going on? But that God will come through the wall. Like through that suicide thing. I think that might have been the Lord, the Holy Spirit, hearing your cry. You believe God, you know God's alive, you love God, but you know what? That power realm, wow, that love realm, how real is that today? God hears your cry. He says, I'm going to show you. He comes walking through the wall. He says, there's somebody that's thinking about committing suicide that's around you or something. To me, that's one of the ways that Jesus himself, to a guy like me, just flowing through and saying, Daniel, listen, here I am. Yes, you need to know from me that this is real. You need to know from me that there's higher levels of the power of God for you, not just for everybody else, but for you. So I thank you, Lord, for my brother in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You're walking through walls for him to show him. And once he knew, once Thomas knew, he wasn't like Moses and like, you know, all the other ones who needed miracle after miracle before he laid his life down. No, one time where Jesus showed himself, that was it. That's it. That's enough for me, my Lord and my God, he said. And after that, he preached the gospel and was became a martyr. He died for Jesus, laid his life down. Right. Gideon took two or three miracles, signs, wonders before he would do it, and not Thomas. Thomas was a blessed man. All right, there you go, bro. I don't know what that's about, but there you go. All right, awesome. All right, 610-427, who am I talking to you from, please?
Shalom, Prophet Randy. This is Lisa Raquel from PA.
Hey, Lisa. All right, good to have you, Lisa. Thank you. All right, thank you, Lord, for Lisa tonight. God, we thank you for that special place of special miracles, God, where, you know, special miracles are not just, sometimes we think the miracle realm is, you know, like, you know, heavy-duty signs and wonders and all that, and it, of course it is, but there's all these little things that God does that are special. They're special miracles. You know, sometimes a special miracle is, you know, driving down the road and seeing a poor person on the side of the road that you always pass by because you think, well, you know, they're just, you know, they need a good job. Whatever. And the Lord says, stop and give them $5. You're going like, $5? God, that's all I got, $5. Just give them the $5. Well, $5 is not going to help them do anything. They just spend on drugs. Just give them the $5. So we stop, we give them the $5, and they get saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, whatever. They cry, they weep, they go, my God, I just asked God if he would give me $5, I would accept Jesus as my Savior. Not $1,000, not $1,000,000, $5. And when you did that, I just prayed it right when you honked your horn and told me to come over here and take $5. He said, I just prayed that prayer. You see, that's a special miracle. Special miracles come in many different fashions, many different forms, in many different ways. Hallelujah. So, Lord, I thank you for helping us understand special miracles are for special moments, for special people, and how they're little things and they're big things. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. All right, 912-318. Can I talk to you from, please?
This is Sandra from Georgia.
Hi, Sandra. Right, Sandra, good to have you, Sandra. All right, Sandra and her husband, and Jesus, we thank you, Lord, Sandra and Robert. We thank you, Lord Jesus, Sandra. God, I thank you for that healing virtue, Father, that's inside of her, God, that the crushing that she's been going through, the crushing. You know, we all go through different crushings in different ways. Sometimes we get crushed financially. Sometimes we get crushed emotionally. Sometimes we get crushed. We all get crushed. All of these different areas that we get crushed in or broken in or whatever. And God takes them, and he, like Jesus said, you know, he was crushed at Gethsemane, and that's when the oil poured out of him. And I thank you, Lord, for the oil, a fresh oil of healing, the virtue of Christ, the healing virtue of Christ, as Sandra has gone through this crushing, God, where she'll be able to emotionally and mentally be able to pour out more oil to people than she's ever had, that to comfort them, to give them things that will change their heart and their mind toward God. When we go through emotional, mental pressures and that pressure of Gethsemane, the pressure of the, you know, the things that go wrong, the pressure that God takes them because we serve, because you serve God, because you love him. He takes those things, Sandra, and they crush us, but they bring out the oil and new levels of healing. Like when you go through an emotional time, a time where we struggle and battle and, you know, really hard decisions and did I do this right and that right? And then God starts doing this and doing that, changing things and rearranging things. And all the battle we go through with all that, the crushing of that causes new oil to enter into that part of you where your words, where your emotions, where your decision-making, where your ability to discern right and wrong and the whole thing becomes at a higher level, anointed by the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, God, for that sweet brokenness from heaven that causes that pressure, that a tremendous pressure that brings the oil, God, out of her life in ways that would have never happened had she not gone through different crushings, different times of struggle and stress that have come against her, the enemy fighting her, and the world trying to, turn on us and make us feel abandoned, and the whole thing, the world trying to make us feel like God, and the whole time God is revealing that I will never leave you and I never forsake you, so that you can give that depth of oil, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you, to other people, and they will know that in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord, and bless Robert, and bless him, Jesus. Bring him that special peace, God, that you are able to change things in a heartbeat, that things we obey your voice, you can change things in a heartbeat, God, Jesus, just by one simple thing of obeying your voice. Amen and amen. All right, 325-280, can I talk to you from, please?
Chris from Texas.
Hey, Chris. All right. All right, thank you, Lord, for Chris. Thank you, Lord, for that, for the binions, the feathers. Let me go here in a second. You know what, I'm going to get everyone up, but sometimes I do binions. All right. I'm looking up the word binions. Here it is, definition. Binions, amen. Binions, definition. Okay, actually. Okay, venues, employer or employers, subsidiaries, I've never heard before, related companies, including but not limited to existing facilities or the to-be-acquired facilities. Binion. I was thinking Binion was like the wings. So now I'm getting a different understanding on this, Chris. Hang on a second. Binion's for his successor and agrees that at all times his authority shall be subordinate to such CEO. Well, I never heard this before. Okay. Okay. I'm in trouble with my stuff here. Okay. No wonder I'm on the wrong thing. All right, y'all. Take some time to go through this. So give me just a minute, please. Understand. All right. I'm doing a different search here. Hang on a second. Okay. All right. I don't know what's going on with that. Okay. I'm trying to find out what I'm doing here. I have my glasses on. So. All right. So God's going to give you a word here. I'm going to be patient and get it in a second here. All right, I'm not going to let the enemy rob us of any of this, right? That's what I do. I just keep going until I get it. They tell the devil to stuff it. What are pinions? Okay. All right, pinions. Maybe I got it wrong here. Like an eagle that stirs up its nest, hovers over its young, that spreads its wings to catch them and carries them aloft. He found him in a desert land in a barren, howling wilderness. He surrounded him. He instructed him. He guarded him as the apple of his eye. As an eagle stirs up its nest and hovers over its young, he spreads his wings to catch them and carry them on his pinions. Pinions. Okay, there you go. That's what I was getting. The Lord alone led him, and no foreign god was with him. Yeah, so... And here's another one, Revelation 12, verse 14. But the woman was given two wings of a great eagle to fly in the presence, I guess wings meaning pinions. So thank you, Lord, for that loving care and that compassion inside of my brother God, and that compassion over him to surround him, God, and him being found in a desert land in a barren, howling wilderness. He surrounded him. He instructed him. He guarded him. God guarded him as the apple of his eye. As an eagle stirs up its nest and hovers over its young, he spreads his wings or his pinions to catch them and carry them on his pinions. And literally, it says on his pinions. And I'm looking up the word pinions, and it's a pinion. On his wings. Yeah, I'm going to get this in the name of Jesus. Individual meaning of poetry, ostrich, Job, and eagle, metaphor, the metaphor. Yeah, amen. Something, God giving you the ability to carry things, to carry the burden of the Lord, to carry the burden of the word of the Lord, to you know, like the shepherd, you know, goes after the flock to save them, like the Savior's loving care, like the wings of a mother eagle, you know, to catch. It says, that's the thing that kept going through my mind. I saw you like, you know, catching people like in the spirit, like helping them come to Christ, like, you know, letting them, so they don't fall, so they don't fail, so they don't, and that anointing in your life, in Jesus' name, to catch people, to stop them from failing, to stop them from going the wrong direction, from doing the wrong thing. There's a shepherd inside of you. There's an eagle. The shepherd who takes the lamb and puts it on his shoulders. You know, that kind of a thing. I just feel that with you in Jesus' name, that God is birthing that inside you and bringing that forth and showing you how to express it, showing you how to deal with it and in it, and showing you how to work it and live in it, and let God work it through you. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, amen. All right, cool, man. I finally think I got something on that. It was what I thought their origin, but I wanted to look it up. Pinions, P-I-N-I-O-N-S. I was looking up at home. 240-482, who am I talking to from, please?
Good evening, Prophet Randy. This is Valerie from North Carolina.
Hey, Valerie. That was so official and so proper. Yeah. I like that. Very cool. All right. Thank you, Jesus, for I don't know if somebody's having an ear problem, an earache, or an ear problem in your family, maybe one of your kids or somebody you know or yourself. I don't know who that is exactly, but I just pray over that, especially the left ear in Jesus' name, and I pray over that ear. Maybe somebody just from the shoulder now, I don't know who this is. As I open up and start talking to Valerie, right away my ear, you know, start like, I get more like a word of knowledge. And I thank you, Jesus, for touching whoever that is right now. I feel the healing anointing of Christ. You have a healing anointing in your life, Valerie, that, you know, to heal is not just to lay hands on somebody so they recover supernaturally only, but it's just any, like a mother has a healing anointing because they want to see their child heal. And any mother who learns how to release that God-given mothering, you know, healing virtue of Christ to flow through them, you know, it becomes, you know, that becomes blessed by the Lord. And so God, connecting your passion for your children to be healthy and whole and healed, and when they're in pain and suffering, how you feel for them, that whole thing, that God's turning that thing into a healing anointing. You know, to see people healed in whatever thing's going on, wherever they're broken, wherever they're suffering, wherever they're in pain, that thing in you, that anointing you, God releasing that anointing to bring that healing virtue of Christ through your life into touch of the people in Jesus' name. Let that be open. Let that seal be broken. That alabaster box be broken, God. Let it fill the room inside of her heart of your healing virtue, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah, to touch people, to care for them, to love them in Jesus' name. All right, 478-454, who may I talk to you from, please?
Hello, this is Janifica from Georgia.
Say your first name again.
Janifica from Georgia.
Janifica. Hi, Janifica.
Uh-huh.
All right, good to have you tonight, Janifica. All right, thank you for my sister. Mind if I just call you Jan? I like that Janisica. That's awesome. Thank you, Lord, for Janisica tonight, God. We thank you for fully developing her, God, that you're developing her in the fullness of the Godhead, the fullness of who she is in you, how you have made her, how you've created her, that she's not been made in the image of a man or the desire of a man or people or human beings, even our own parents sometimes, but in the image of God, even made to please God, to live for God, to dwell with God, to know God, and whoever you touch, whoever you come in contact with, to express, let that expression of who you are in Christ Jesus be opened up to people. You know, it's not about who Jesus is alone. It's who Christ is in you, what he's done in you, what he's done through your testimony, the virtue of Christ in you, what God has done in your life. That's what people need to see. They can say, oh, you can talk about God all you want to, but, you know, I believe in God, but yeah, well, I want to see what's God done in you. So it's the virtue of Christ in you. It's the things that God has done in you that really reveal who Jesus is to people. They start seeing a change in you. They start seeing something, you know, you growing in the Lord, you moving from one place of glory to the next, and people seeing that, that's what changes them. That's what opens them up to a God more than it is, you know, preaching Jesus to them. Of course, that has its own effect. Believe me, it's amazing. But when it's what God has done in you and through you, and they see that a regular human being who loves God can change and be conformed to the image of Jesus, with your own testimony, it says, we overcome Satan by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony, the word of your testimony. Amen. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, God. Thank you for that overcoming power in Jesus' name. And bring those people in her life that will fulfill her intimacy, God, of having fellowship. And we're made to not be alone. God didn't create man to be alone. He created man to have fellowship with someone who we can yoke with, in Jesus' name. Bring that, Father, in Jesus' name. But let that be done in her life. All right, 912-398. Who am I talking to you from, please? Okay. All right. Let's see. All right. 912-398. Are you there? That is Valerie. Oh, okay. So Valerie is saying, okay, 912, I'm sorry. Okay, I just realized it's Valerie. Sorry. I just saw your text. She said, just sent this to me, I guess after I ministered to her. She said, I have had earaches off and on the last several weeks. Thank you. Oh, wow. So that was you. So that is you, Valerie. Thank you, Jesus. Wow, that is awesome. As soon as I got you on the line, my ears started hurting. My ears started aching. Yeah, so thank God that he's letting me feel that. You know, it doesn't affect me personally, but, you know, I feel it so I can know what you're feeling. Wow, bless your heart. That's a difficult thing to go through. Thank God that he's touching you and blessing you. Amen, Valerie. Thank you for sharing that with me. In Jesus' name, I sent you a little text there. I might check your text, but I sent you a text that's to Jesus' touch. Amen. Wow, very awesome. All right, 912-398. All right, let's go here and pray for you in Jesus' name. All right, Angela Joy. Thank you, Lord. This is Angela Joy tonight from Georgia. Thank you, God, for my sister, God. I thank you, Lord, for your healing virtue in her. I thank you for a healing revival. Thank you for healing, reviving, healing, revival, healing, healing of reviving, reviving, healing. I don't know what that is exactly. In Jesus' name. And I also feel someone having a pain like in the left side of their chest, back in the left hand, kind of this is the left hand side of the chest area, like a pain down in there. Like, I don't know if it's the lung. I don't know what that is. It's not the lung. I don't know what that is. I feel like it might be the lung, but it's in that area. And on the far left-hand side, like it's way over, not in the middle, but on the far left. I don't know who that is or what that is, but in Jesus' name, I rebuke that pain right now. Maybe you've been hit by the enemy. The enemy is always trying to, you know, throw darts at us. So that's some kind of a dart that be trying to manifest in your body. In Jesus' name, I command that dart to come out of your body right now, Angela Joy. In Jesus' name, and be healed. There it went right there. I felt that dart, like that was a dart. Well, it just left my body. I think that was you. Maybe somebody else too, but yeah, it was you. And it's like a dart. You know, darts, it talks about the darts of the enemy. The darts are darts that come at us. And that could be sometimes those darts affect our body, where our body is in pain or whatever's going on. I thank you, Lord, for making adjustments. Thank you, Lord, for taking that dart that's been thrown at her. In Jesus' name, from the side of the back, I'm not sure where that's at. in the name of Jesus, that it, you just delivered her from that pain in her body, in the name of Jesus. Every dart that's come at her body, in Jesus' name, I command them all, the poison of all of it, in Jesus' name, to come out, that nothing, no poison can harm you, no dart that the enemy throws, in Jesus' name, can harm you or affect you in the name of Jesus. I command that pain and that all that poison that you think to be released out of your body. You are healed. You are touched in the name of Jesus. Be drained out of her body in Jesus' name. That like a yellowish type thing coming out of your body in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Like a yellowish, goldish color or something. I don't know what it is. Maybe some kind of infection. I'm not sure. I don't know what that is, but in Jesus' name, God is draining that out of your body right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Come out all the way. Be washed and cleansed by the precious blood of Jesus. Be delivered and set free in Jesus' name from that pain, from that infirmity. In Jesus' name, you are a child of the living God. You are whole and holy before Father God. In Jesus' name, you are blessed and holy before Him. You are glorious. You are the glorious daughter of God, the child of the living God. Amen. His precious daughter of obedience to Him. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Be blessed and favored. Amen, like you already are. All right, 720-819, who am I talking to you from, please?
Hey, Randy, Jeff, and Yuki.
Hey, y'all. All right, good to have you guys tonight. Hey, I don't know if you're trying to tell me something. If you are, maybe you can text me. I couldn't tell if you were trying to say something. If you are, please just text me if you want. And I can turn you back on if you need to tell me, but I couldn't tell if you were trying to say something else there. Anyway, okay, there you go. You prayed. Okay. Okay, Carmen. Yeah. Okay. To confirm what you prayed for Daniel, we are praying for people with the blood and love of God. He was feeling God all over. He said when you prayed it confirmed the birth. Oh, really? Wow. That is amazing. Dear God, that is beautiful. Wow. I mean, I feel that. That's why I say it. I felt it happening. So that is beautiful. What a thank you, Jesus moment. Glory to God. Thank you, Carmen, for sharing that. That really built me up. Thank you for that. Sweet Jesus stuff. Sweet, sweet Jesus, though. Amen and amen, amen. All right. We're praying for Jeff and Uke tonight. Thank you, Lord, for Jeff and Uke. I thank you, Lord, for... okay, there. They sent me up. The dart in the lung was for me to pain. It was me to pain there for a while. So it's there for me to pain there for a while. Oh, really? Yeah, I literally felt that. That was like a... you know, a bit of a pain right there in that area. Wow. So God is moving tonight. God is touching people tonight. Thank you, Jesus, for that dart and removing that dart, that attack in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you, Lord, that your son is healed. He is the healed of the Lord. God, in Jesus' name, sometimes the things that we get attacked of, we think it may be because we're, you know, not eating something or not doing something or maybe whatever. But sometimes it's just a fact that it's just a dart of the enemy that tries to manifest itself, you know, make us think we have something or make us think that something's going on when it's all a lie, you know, trying to get us to worry, trying to distract us from our purpose. And so all that stuff is a lie. We expose that in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, for everything, every lie that the enemy tries to distract Jeff, tries to distract Yuki from their purpose. And the things you've called them to do and the things you've called them to be, God, every distraction, I ask you to expose it in the name of Jesus. Satan, you cannot hide beneath or behind distractions. Sometimes distractions come in the form of something that seems like it's a God thing. It seems like it is. But, Lord, I thank you for them asking for confirmation of things and then waiting until they get that confirmation. If they don't get confirmation, don't do it. Right? It doesn't mean you won't get the confirmation, but sometimes timing has to do with, we can tell our timing situations that are right with God because we wait for confirmation. The Bible says, wait on the Lord and see. Waiting doesn't mean you know, we do nothing, it means that we're waiting for confirmation. We're waiting for that. Like Moses waiting to go back to Israel, to Egypt to get Israel. He waited, you know, in a sense. He wasn't literally physically waiting. He was there for 4 years. But when God told him to go, you know, he already knew he was called to deliver. He just didn't know how to act. And all of a sudden, boom, confirmation. God gave him suit. And he asked for a lot of confirmation. And he needed it because it was a big job. And the bigger the job is, dude, Yuki, you know, the bigger the job is, the more you need that confirmation. You need that confirmation. So we have to wait upon the Lord and renew our strength. How's our strength come? Moses got his strength to go back, you know, and we use these two examples all the time. Gideon, the 300, he used that confirmation to give him strength to do what he had to do. We need that strength. We need the courage of God, not our own courage, not our own resolve. Right, which we can very easily flow into if we're not careful. We use our own courage to do things, and we don't realize it because we're trying to help God out, do his work so bad. We want to do everything. We thank you, Jesus, that you're giving them strategy. You're giving them a strength and ability to wait and see. Wait on the Lord, always looking for confirmation, always believing God for it, always asking for it. Nothing wrong with asking for it. God, show it, because, you know, when we're going to do a big thing, when there's a big move, when there's a big thing going on, sometimes the timing is everything. Moses, if Moses would have went back to Egypt before the other Pharaoh would have died, because, you know, God told him, he said, that Pharaoh's dead, because he was worried about it. So I can't go back there, God, you know, they're going to, you know, I killed the Egyptian, they're gonna kill me, they're going to put me in jail. He said, well, that guy's dead. Oh, okay, so the timing is everything. But as you already know all this stuff, so I thank you, Lord, for confirming, for washing, for cleansing, for strengthening them, God. They're your servants. God, you called them and chosen them together to walk together, to live together, to be together, to be married together, all of us. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Amen. They are blessed. They are favored, God. They're your sons and your daughters, God. And you're going to confirm what they do, because it's some stuff, man, that needs to be confirmed. Hallelujah. Amen. Bless them, Jesus. All right, very cool. All right, 214-434, who am I talking to, you from, please?
This is Kimberly in Texas.
Hey, Kimberly. All right, Kimberly, thank you for being here. All right, thank you, Jesus, for Kimberly. Thank you, Lord, for Kimberly, God. We thank you, Lord, for the power of suggestion. That, God, you know, when you do things, it's not the power of suggestion. It is the love of God. It's your voice. It's the power of convincing, not suggestion. I don't know why it's being brought that way exactly, but I don't know why it's the power of suggestion. Sometimes, you know, the enemy brings the power of suggestion, suggesting something. Well, God doesn't suggest something. He says, hey, I want you to do this. Hey, this is my will. Hey, this is what I want you to do. It's not the power of suggestion. God doesn't suggest. He doesn't, I'm suggesting something. You know, basically overall, God doesn't suggest things. He just says, this is what I need done. This is what I want. This is what's for you. Right, it's not a suggestion. It's a command. You know, a command is God telling you, you want to be happy, you want to be fulfilled, Kimberly, walk in my will, walk in my purposes. He doesn't suggest it, right? So thank you, Jesus, that she will understand that, know that like never before. She will understand the difference between the power of suggestion, which comes sometimes from, you know, the world, the flesh, ourselves. God, that she will understand that the spirit of conviction. Conviction means we are convinced, not suggested to, convinced. That's why the Bible says the Holy Spirit leads us and guides us. He convicts us of all. He convicts us. Conviction means convincing. It's really what you look at the word, Jeff, it means to convince. So he doesn't put suggestions out there. He commands us, and there's all these different things to convince us. Amen. So thank you, Lord, that she will see that, she will know that, that you're blessing her, God. You're opening her up to new places to discover love and discover freedom. Amen, that she's a whole person without anybody, but she's a whole person. Even her wholeness comes together with somebody else's whole. And when two whole people come together, they become powerful. And I thank you, Jesus, for that, and open her up to that, showing her how to become one with others. In the spirit of the Lord, amen, and the power of agreement. Wherever two or more agree as touching a thing, it shall be done. it shall be done. That's what we're interested in, is in the shall be done stuff. Right, yeah. All right, 612-991, you might talk to me from, please.
Hello, Randy. This is Joyce from Minnesota. Thank you.
Hey, Joyce. You're welcome. All right, thank you, Lord, for Joyce. Thank you, Lord, for just filling her, covering her, God, letting her know that you're covering her, you're protecting her, you keep her personal things, personal things. Between, God is such a God of privacy. You know, he knows that when we're working things out, when we don't really know what to do and how to do it, we have questions, we don't know, we groan, we suffer, we got things. And he keeps those things private. God is such a private person that he knows that he protects you in his privacy with you. He protects you. God doesn't go around exposing everybody. Well, you know, your motive was wrong about this. Your motive was wrong with it. You know, it's God doesn't do that. God protects our motives. Even when we, because he's changing them, because he knows that we all are human beings, that we need to change. And so as he changes us, he doesn't go, yeah, you know, Joyce used to feel like this, and now she's changed because I changed her. You know, God is very protective, very gracious, very kind, and he protects you, and as you're growing and learning and discovering new things, if you want to share something, then that's your business. He does not. He's very protective, and God's trying to show you how protective he is over your joy, how protective he is over your heart, how protective he is over your love life, how you love and how you love him and love people and you know, and learning how to love people, learning how to let the love of God flow. Amen. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, for that whole protective realm for Joyce, God, that you will minister to her and admonish her and let her know that I'm more for protecting you than you are protecting you. I'm really protecting you. I'm really watching over you to cover you and keep you covered and let you feel that you are covered, knowing that you're covered and protected. Amen. So you can rest in him, rest in his provision, rest in his blessing, rest in his rest. Amen. And let him heal you in every area. From every shortcoming, from everything you think you've messed up or other people have messed up, that God is healing you, removing any grief and sorrow, amen, over things the things you have to watch with other people, watch them suffer and how it grieves you and bothers you, and God comforting you in how you comfort other people. Joyce, it's beautiful. Amen, in Jesus' name. All right, 402-650, you want to talk to Ruth, please? 402-650. Okay. All right. Thank you, John and Melissa. Thank you, Lord, for John and Melissa tonight. God, we thank you, Lord, for blessing John. God, give him the courage. Give him your courage, God. When we have our own courage, it can come and go. Sometimes our courage works good on certain things that we've had experience with, things we enter into that we don't have experience with, that we really don't know how to handle. We don't know what's going on. We tend to lose courage because we don't have any experience of that. Our courage is kind of like out the window. But the courage of the Lord, you know, his courage can take you through anything. His courage can put you in a place to where you can, do what you need to do, how you need to do it, and face the things. He gives us the courage to be able to face the things, even face our own failure sometimes. I have to face my own failure, face the fact that I'm coming up short in some ways, and be able to, because the sooner we face it, the sooner it can be changed. You know, God's always getting me to face things, give me the courage to face my failures, face my weaknesses, face my mistakes, face the things that he's been trying to tell me to change, and I haven't, you know, been able to quite do it yet. It gives me the courage. Without his courage, I can't do it, John. I'm a failure without him. I have to admit it. He has to give me courage. If this courage, I could do it. I could do all things to him. And I thank you, Jesus, that you give John courage, God, to face the things that he needs to face, whatever they are. So he can confront them in love, in himself or in others, whatever the situations are, in business or whatever, and overcome and conquer and move forward in Jesus' name and keep moving forward. Never stop it. Never losing. Never at any loss. Always successful in Christ Jesus alone. Amen? Yeah. It's his courage always makes us victorious. Our courage, not work. All right, 903-619. Who am I talking to you from, please? 903-619, are you there? Hi.
Hello?
Hey. Yes, who am I talking to you from,
Megan.
Please?
This is Megan from Texas.
Hi, Megan. All right, Megan, thank you for being with us. We're going to pray for you. Thank you for being with us, Megan. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for Megan from Texas. We, Lord, just bless Megan tonight. God, we thank you, Lord, for the things that she suffered, that you're going to recover and restore the things that have been lost. God, that you are a God of recovery. It doesn't matter whether we mess it up or somebody else messed it up. It doesn't matter. That's the thing, Megan. Even if we mess it up. If we mess it up, God can't recover it. No, even more so. Even more so. If somebody else messed it up, same thing. You know, Job went through a thing where things got messed up. You know, and so God, when God recovered him, when God recovered all of it, yeah, in Jesus' name, it was amazing. But sometimes we have to realize that God's recovery system, his system of restoration is because of his grace and mercy and his love, because he wants us to be blessed so that we can exalt him, so we can lift him up, so we can be a testimony. So he wants us to be blessed, Megan, more for his sake, not just for ours. But more for his sake, because sometimes the Bible says he did things because of his name's sake. You know, he would have judged them. He would have done this. He would have taken a name. But he for his name's sake, he protected and loved them. So sometimes just for his name's sake, he does stuff, right? Yeah, so I see God really showing it to you that he's more interested in you restoring and being recovered completely, spirit, soul, body, finances, more than you want to even. Because it's for his namesake. So he wants you to be blessed for you and for his namesake. Because you and him are going to do it together. You work together. You love together. You seek him. He shows you how to even seek him and find him. Amen. It's not about seeking him only. It's about finding him. Hallelujah. Amen. That's restoration. That's complete restoration. When we start finding, not just seeking, but not just looking, but finding. Not just asking, but receiving. All right, 903-808, who am I talking to you from, please?
Hi, this is Janie in Texas.
Hey, Janie. All right, thank you, Lord, for Janie. Father, I thank you, Father, for that protection around with her, too, God, that showing her how he's called Janie to believe protection for people. She knows what it's like to, you know, feel the attack of the enemy and how vicious the enemy can be and how ugly he can be and how mean he can be and how outright, you know, he comes to kill, steal, and destroy, and how the enemy's always trying to one way or the other, hurt people and hurt God's children. And God, you've called her as a shepherd to watch over and to be like a mother hen in a sense, and believe God to protect and to watch over. Because when you know the reality of God's love and his power, you also know how the enemy tries to come in and steal, kill, and destroy. And so, because we know, we're aware of that. We're sober-minded on that, as Jeannie is, that because of that revelation and that awareness, that we know that God's people need love. They need affection. They need protection. They need to know through the gospel we preach, through the message we give, that you are watching over them. Sometimes the biggest strategy of the enemy that comes against people that we minister to is that the enemy's convincing them, you know, God's not really with you, you know, trying to get them to give in, trying to get them to give up. And so that's what our job is so important as prophets, as prophesiers, as people who speak the word of God over people, is to make sure that they get protected in the sense in their mind where they don't give in to the lies of the enemy. And so our job is to watch over, to be shepherds. We shepherd them. We shepherd, meaning that we watch over. Not control, not run, but we watch over and make sure that they are able to live their life for God. The enemy's not able to take them out because we understand, the enemy's desire to take out and mess them up and keep them from God's will more than they do. Sometimes they don't even know it. They don't even think, yeah, the devil's not really that real. But we know. And so, therefore, because of that, we watch over, we speak the word, we bring protection, God, over your flock. And because of that, God rewards us, Jeannie. God's going to reward you for your desire to protect and keep and watch over God's people, make sure that they get the truth, because the truth is what protects them. The truth is what sets them free. Amen. It keeps them from coming into agreement with the enemy, right? Sometimes people, as you know, through different things, we come into agreement with the enemy and don't even know it. And so God's using you to undo those things that are allowing the enemy to come in and bring, you know, problems with people, bring trouble in their marriage, bring trouble in their relationship with God, and speak the truth, and the truth sets them free. Amen, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, if anyone comes to you preaching, Paul said, if anyone comes to you preaching any other gospel than that which I bring to you, let them be accursed. A curse means, that doesn't mean that God's cursing them. It means that they're outside the protection. They're outside protection of the gospel, right? Because the gospel, we understand and believe the gospel. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation or under our protection. So we thank you, Lord, for the power of the gospel through Jeannie, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. The rewards that come with that. Amen. To get the will of God done more and more and more all the time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 251-229, who am I talking to you from, please?
Hi, Prophet Randy. This is Sarah calling from Alabama.
Hey, Sarah. All right. Good day, sir. All right. Thank you so much. All right. All right. God bless you, Sarah. Thank you, Jesus, for Sarah. Thank you, Lord, for her heart to want to believe, her heart to want to, whatever God tells her, you know, like Mary, the Virgin Mary said unto the angel Gabriel, he just gave her an amazing, you know, like unbelievable, staggering the mind word. You're going to bear the Messiah. Like, whoa, what? You know, it's like, it's so... So she had this thing, and it was just, let it be done unto me according to thy word, you know. And so to be able to believe, to be able to receive that information, be able to believe God for big things, not just scrap around for scraps the rest of our life, believe God for big things, to give big, to do big, to help big, to be used by God big. We have to break loose from our little teeny-weeny world we live in. And start expanding ourselves. Let our heart be expanded. Let our territory be expanded. Sometimes we have to expand our territory by deliberately, willfully, you know, as God guides, expanding our territory, stepping out beyond our little, you know, little teeny weeny world we live in, and start letting God expand us, and listening to Him and believing Him when He says that I want to expand you. Start doing something about it. We don't just sit there and wait. Right? Yeah, you know about this. We start doing what God says. And God is always expanding us. Where we don't live in our little poverty-stricken world, emotionally, mentally, spiritually. We live in prosperity of God, the prosperity of His gifts, the prosperity of His presence, the prosperity of His knowing that we're in His will, knowing we're walking with Him. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. Let it be done. 864-439, you want to talk to your friend, please?
Hey, it's Walter from South Carolina.
Hey, Walter. All right, thank you, Lord, for Walter. Thank you, Lord, for that divine conviction of the Holy Spirit, that divine appointment of the Holy Spirit, the convincing. You know, it just takes God to convince us. I mean, we know the Word says it. Everybody goes, yeah, the Word says this. But do they really believe it? Do I really believe it? You know, I believe, right? There's many things that I believe that I know. I walked in, and then sometimes I have to be honest. God, help my unbelief. And to get blessed, Walter, if you already know all this, but just confirm. We have to just say, God, I believe it, help my unbelief. I mean, and be honest with Him. Honesty is the best policy. You know, sometimes it's hard for me to be honest with God about certain things because I can't believe that I haven't grown past this. I'm still struggling with this particular. I may be doing really good about a bunch of other things, but that one particular thing, God, that one particular thing is causing me to stumble where I never really move forward like I know I'm supposed to because I can't be honest and say, God, I believe it, help my unbelief. You know, and I know you're not like that. So it's some areas that we really have shame over is that the enemy shames us, tells us, yeah, you know. So we have to tell the Lord, you know, I believe, but help my unbelief, God. You know, I really do believe. I believe. Jesus, Peter was told by Jesus, do you love me? He said, you know, and three times you get, you know I love you. What are you talking about? Yeah, well, then feed my sheep. And the reason why Jesus asked that three times is because he wanted him to know. He wanted to get it out. He wanted him to hear it. He wanted him to get it out of his spirit. Amen. Yeah. So, amen. Hallelujah. 803-991, can I talk to you? Where are you from, please?
Hi, Randy. It's Angela, South Carolina.
Hey, Angela. All right, Angela, good to have you tonight. All right, thank you, Jesus, for her faith, God. I thank you for expanding her faith, for increasing her faith. You know, we walk in the faith that we walk in, and we come to time to increase it or multiply it or expand it. Then we start realizing it's expanded by us expanding. You know, we just don't do the same thing. You know, we pray for 5 minutes or you know, 30 minutes or an hour a day, whatever, and the Lord says, you know, it's not about how much you pray. It's about how much you listen and obey, you know, right? So we're moving into not the works things, working, but by listening and doing. What is God saying? This is what God's teaching me, girl. I can understand why he's talking about the thing, because this is our biggest thing. Right, is we spend all our time trying to work hard for God and make sure we're doing plenty for Jesus, they'd be happy with us, instead of just simply doing what he says. I mean, man, this is like really hitting me. God has been speaking to me about it as I've been teaching him, because he's talking to me about it. It's just, you're going to get so much more done in a little bit of time by doing exactly what I say. Right, when you do that, I'm going to bless you. You're going to have a lot of time. You're going to have a happy, restful, peaceful life, time to do a lot of things that I'm going to bless in your life. Because you have relationships the way I want you to have them. You have business. You have work the way I want you to have it. You talk to people the way I want you to talk to people. You read the word the way I want you. You do what I say the way. And the more we do that, the more we do what he says, no more, no less. Amen. I'm going to do more for you, God. I'll do more for you, God. See, well, just, if I'm not working, don't work. If I'm not working with you, you're going to be sweating. That's what he tells me all the time. What are you sweating for, Randy? Yeah, I'm trying to get this done. He said, why don't you just wait and let me do it in the right timing? Why don't you just wait for the timing? Wait for the right time. Wait for the right when I tell you. Because I know the right timing. I can see things that you can't see. I know things you don't know. And there's a reason why, you know, I'm not having you work on that right now. You can work it if you want. You can sweat it if you want to, but you can wait. Just wait on me, and then, you know, 5 minutes it can be done instead of 5 weeks working on it, and then nothing be done, right? I'm working so hard at doing it. Just do what I say. It's much better. You get a lot more accomplished. A lot less effort. A lot less time. Have a lot more peace. A lot more of the glory of God on you, because striving, this is what the Lord's showing me about me. He said, the more you strive to do things, the more you hinder the presence of God. The more you relax and you just do what I say, and if I'm not doing anything, don't do anything. The more you relax in that, the more you rest in that, the more that my presence comes and dwells among you. Hallelujah. Lord, I think you let whatever level she's at on that, bring her to a higher level, a newer level. God, you're always taking me to higher levels of obeying your voice and keeping constantly reminding me, Angela, that, you know, hey, Randy, this is about doing what I say. You know, and you do what I say, we work together. Jesus said, I only work because my Father's working. If he's not working, I'm not working. Yeah. So, hallelujah. Let it be done, Jesus. Lord, I know you're teaching the body of Christ that. Amen. And I thank you, Lord, that we're learning it. We're getting it. We're going to be the most prosperous, done people, easier, faster, and better, because we're working with the Father when he works. And when he's not working, we're resting and chilling out. And when we do that, his glory comes pouring through our soul with rewards of love and affection, personal admiration of who we are with him. Because when you're not working, I know my dad, my dad was a good dad. He was busy working a lot, but you know, he would My dad and I would go work together. That was a fellowship time that we had in our working together. We fellowship, you know, talk, and while we're working, he was a worker. And then when we would be doing nothing, you know, we had a different level of fellowship. You know, we talked about different things. Everything was different. So when we were working, we were fellowshipping. When we weren't working, we were just chatting and driving down the road. You know, it was always, you know, we were always communicating. Just the communication was different when we weren't working. We were still together, but not working. And hallelujah. So it's all good. Amen. I don't know what that's about. That's wonderful. Jesus. Thank you. All right, 847-239. You want to talk to me from, please?
Stephanie from Illinois.
Hi, Stephanie. Thank you, Lord, for Stephanie. God, show her that your favor upon her, God, is not because she does, you know, that she's out working hard for you and has a desire to work hard for you, but that she has a passion to fellowship with you and to, you know, it's like when we go do things that God's not in, that he doesn't go with us. You know, like Stephanie's like, Lord says, you know, like God told Moses, he said, hey, man, you know, I'll send my angel before you and he'll go with you. But, you know, God didn't say he was going with him. He said, but I'll send my angel. And Moses goes, well, if you're not going to go, God, I don't want to go. And so he realized that in the going together, that, you know, when he was going to go, even with the angel, that God wasn't with him. God wasn't, his presence wasn't there. The gift, manifestation, but the presence of God. So when we do things just to do them, and though God can be with us in things, you know, but at the same time, if he's not orchestrating it, he's not actually working with us, then, you know, there's not that fellowship. He told the ones, he said, they said, we cast out devils and cast out devils and prophesied. He says, get away from me. I never knew you. Why? Because they were out there doing things without the Lord. They were leaving the Lord at the house, going out doing stuff on their own in the name of Jesus. The Lord said, what are you doing? When we go together, it all gets done. And my way, if you go out on your own, then you're kind of on your own, and I'm not with you. Doesn't mean I don't love you. Doesn't mean you're not going to heaven, but it means, hey, I'm not with you. So, you know, whatever you do out there on your own without him, you know, it's like, I don't even know you. You know, it's like, because knowing us is doing, he knows us or he experiences us or we get to know each other through doing, spending everything together. All of our time together, everything we say, everything we do, you know, whether we're working or doing stuff for him or not, we're together. That seems to be a main message tonight. I don't know what's going on with this tonight. This is awesome. God is opening up the restroom for us, Stephanie. He's opening up the restroom where we, resting means even if we're laboring with him. We're not sweating, right? He's with us. We're together. And Jesus and the Father weren't working together. They were, you know, not working together, right? They were working together and they were not working together, but they were together. And he learned how to fellowship with him in the work and outside the work. Like going to work with your daddy and going home and your daddy, like we, you know, so something about that's going on tonight. I loosen that into my sister, God, that you're blessing her and showing her how to be led by your voice, not just by reading the word, doing what the word says, because you are the word. Jesus Christ is the living word. When we do what Jesus' voice tells us, we are doing what the word says. Of course, what Jesus tells you by the Holy Spirit is always going to be in the word. And we get to know the word, we love the word, we read the word, and when the Lord says, you know, go do this, he didn't say, okay, go do 1 John 4:7, necessarily. He just says, go do this. And we find ourselves, we go back and look at it and go, man, I was doing 1 John 4:7. Didn't even know it. Yeah, why? Because we're listening to his voice. We're doing what he says. We're fellowship with him. In our fellowship, he says, yeah, you think you can go across the street and tell so-and-so that I love him? Yeah, I've been trying to reach him for a long time. Yeah, I know. Why don't you go there and tell him right now? Do it right now. Go across the street, tell, yeah, hey, knock on the door. Hey, sir. I've talked to you many times, but today I just want to tell you, you know, God really loves you. He goes, oh, my God, you know, I can't believe you just said that, because I just told God, if you just have somebody tell me you love me, then I'm gonna give my whole life to you. My whole family's going to come to you. And you've been trying to evangelize them for months and maybe years. And God tells you one day, go over there now. Do it now. We do it, and boom, years of work. It takes him to God 3 seconds, you know, to get something going on. Oh, my God. Thank you, Jesus, for my sister, God, her love to want to obey your voice, do what you say, and live in your presence, dear Jesus, and say, good and faithful servant, I am pleased with you. That's what she wants to hear, God. Not just, oh, you did a lot of stuff for me, but I don't know you. It's in the doing that we know him. If we spend that doing together, why? Because we're doing what he said. We're working. Jesus said, I work when my Father works. So in the working, he was getting to know him. In the doing nothing, he was getting to know him. Yeah. Wow, I mean, I'm repeating that a lot. It seems like God's just really loosening us into our thinking tonight. All right, amen. All right, 863-268, do you want to talk to your friend, please?
Hey, Randy, it's Charles and Nikki from Florida.
Hey, y'all. All right, thank you for sharing your testimony last night about Stephanie and Charles and all that. What a blessing that. Thank you, Lord, that this whole night tonight has been about the voice of God, about the voice of God. You know, and I keep getting the scripture, and I'm just gonna obey God. Okay, let me go here. Give me a second. Okay, here we go. Yeah, this is Jeremiah 42, verse 6, I think it says, whether it be good or whether it be evil, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God, to whom we send thee, that it may be well with us, and we obey the voice of the Lord our God. I've never even heard that one before. There it is right there again. Jeremiah 42, verse 6 is one of them. Here's the one I'm thinking about. Deuteronomy 30, verse 10. If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to keep his commands and statutes which are written in the book of the law, if thou shalt turn to the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul for this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven to bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. Neither is it beyond the sea, thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. The word of the Lord is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. See, I've set before thee life and good, life and death, death and evil, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, thou shalt not hear, but thou shalt be drawn away. Which for the gods, he goes, talks about all this stuff. Yeah, I don't know why I need to read that to you, but it's awesome. That's that part about the first part was really where I was going. If I shall hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, amen, all these blessings will come on you. Hallelujah. Lord, I ask you to bless. I ask you to increase and multiply. God, I ask you to show them more and more Deuteronomy 27 says, "Thou shalt therefore obey the voice of the Lord thy God, his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day." Well, I thank you that you are commanding them. It is a command to obey the voice of the Lord. That's, we do it. We want to do it. Thank you, Lord, for commanding. We speak the command. God, it is something that you don't suggest, you don't just recommend, but that you command. Because the commanded blessing, Psalms 133, the commanded blessing, the unity, God, break up any disharmony. Disharmony, you know, I'm hearing the word harmony. You know, harmony is like H-A-R-M-O-N-Y, harmony. But I'm also getting it as H-A-R-M, harm-me. I thank you, Lord, that unity keeps any harm from coming to me. Obeying the voice of the Lord is where our protection is. It's not just about doing good things, but obeying the voice of the Lord God. Hallelujah. You're reestablishing your covenant with Nikki and Charles, God. You're reestablishing your covenant with them, God. It's about the voice of the Lord. The voice of the Lord. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Let it be done. Let it be done. Let it be done. Like Mary said, let it be done in me according to thy word. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Every hidden thing be revealed and exposed in the name of Jesus so they can see it, so they can, you know, do whatever it takes to walk toward God, to do what God says, obey him in every manner, every fashion, God. You know, it's like obeying him is what makes our blessings easy. We've talked about this all night long. There's something powerful going on tonight about just simply doing what God does. And I use that testimony about the evangelism at work where, you know, I tried to evangelize those guys for like 8 months or so and no results, nothing but trouble, nothing but mocking me. And, you know, I didn't mind that, but it's like, you know, there's no, I want results, God. I don't care about the persecution. Well, how about the results? And then one day, what did he do? He spoke to me, told me what to do. Most unusual thing, Nikki and Charles. And when I did that thing, it just opened up. And wow, I had so much blessing going on. I couldn't keep up with it all. I was now went from, you know, them putting me off into rooms by myself so I wouldn't talk to anybody because I was talking about Jesus. You know, and to the point where now they're coming after me. The whole thing completely turned around through that one act of obedience, of taking the money out of my billfold and going there to offering them money. Say, if I'm going to pray for you and if 3 minutes and nothing happens, you can keep this money. Hand them the money and they put it in the pocket and then I'm praying. And then, you know, long story short, boom, that whole thing went around the globe, literally. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for those movements in their life. God is doing that work in their life in Jesus' name, that obedience to your voice. Amen. All right. All right. 9940224.
Michael from Texas.
Hey, Michael, I prayed over you earlier. I knew that was you, so I prayed over you earlier, okay? I got you earlier. So just go back when you listen to it. And I think you're like my second or third caller or something. And you might have been gone away from phones, but I did go ahead and pray over because I knew that was you. And I prayed over it. So just go back and on the archive and listen to that. All right. My brother, thank you very much. Cool. We try to do that. If people, for some reason, are missing, and if I know, it doesn't really matter whether I know who they are or not. You know, sometimes I look it up to see, you know, that number looks familiar. And so I know their name most of the time, not always. So I do that. All right, so we don't miss anybody. And, all right, so if you were on and you fell asleep or got busy or something, probably went ahead and ministered to you, so just go back and listen. I think I gave the order of the phone numbers in the beginning, so if you're able to hear that, you'll know where you were, where to find it in the audio, the archive. All right, my brother, thank you. All right, y'all, I guess that's maybe it for the night. I don't know. Nobody else has their hand up. So we will call it a night. Thank you for being with us. I think I got everyone. If I didn't get you, please text me, let me know. 214-505-8719. Let me know, and I will, of course, pray for you. Oh, here we go. Okay. Yes, Sharon, I think I got you. Okay. Okay, there you are right there. All right, yes, Sharon, thank you. I got you. Okay, 402-214. I think I did pray over you already, but I might not have, so let's go ahead and do it again. Thank you, Jesus, for sharing. Father, we thank you for your tender mercies, God, your loving kindness, your overshadowing, your overshadow, your abundance. You don't lack in anything, God. You're just looking for us to obey your voice, to do what we know to do, that you tell us to do. And that you never lack anything. You never lack. But the way we break the lack is we do what you say. We obey your voice. And I thank you, God, that you give her the wisdom and the strength and the ability to obey your voice, to know that you are speaking to her, that you have knowledge of her. You know about her circumstances. You know about her situation. You know about what she's going through. And usually the answer comes through God's, the Bible says, my sheep know my voice. It's not about prophets or apostles. It's about my sheep. My sheep know my voice. You know these scriptures very well, Sharon. My sheep know my voice. So I thank you, Lord, for her being a sheep, just like I'm a sheep. And I'm also a shepherd, but I'm a sheep. I'm a sheep first. I became a sheep first, not even knowing I was going to be a shepherd under Jesus. Yeah, I learned to listen to his voice. And when I learned that he was speaking to me in all these different ways, and I learned how to do what he was telling me to do. Just sometimes it's that one thing that we've been saying we're not going to do. You know, I'm not going to obey God. I'm not going to. We just say, I'm just not going to do that. And sometimes, like with me in that situation with that revival that broke loose at that job site, that's happened in a few moments. I did something I'd never done before. And it totally was just backwards from the way I thought about everything. And God says, if you'll do that, I didn't know what exactly was going to happen, but I knew he was telling me to do it. So I just did it. And boom, man, everything changed. So sometimes, Sharon, as you know already, it's God speaking to us to do something. We've been resisting it. God knows, how many times I've resisted things. I've done it many, many times. Yeah. And then sometimes because we're ignorant, sometimes because we've been taught something that tells us, you can't be taking money out of your billfold and offer it to a heathen to say, I pray for you and nothing happens to you, you can keep the $10. That's not in the Bible. I know, but it was God leading me, right? It was the very thing that broke the whole thing through. And so I thank you, Lord, for her obedience to you, God. Sometimes we're not waiting on God. God is waiting on us. When are you going to do what I'm telling you to do? Sometimes it's call somebody, get forgiveness. Sometimes he has to give an offering or help the poor and the needy or do something with a church or do something with somebody, something. Do that, and I'll bless you. Amen. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. So open that up, God, and bless, and bless, and bless, and bless in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I think I got 47. I think I got 478 already. 478-233, I already got you already, right?
No.
Okay, who is this? Can I talk to you, friend, please?
This is Janice. This is Janice from Georgia.
Oh, hi, Janice. All right, Janice, good to have you, Janice. All right. Hi, good to have you. All right, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for carrying her, God, for showing her that sometimes he carries us. One of the problems I had, Janice, years ago is I was, I was always been so proud, proud of my strength. I'm proud of my strength. I'm a strong person. When I got born again, my relationship with God was like solid because of how he loved me. And I knew that he was with me. I knew he was. I don't always know exactly in what way he's with me, but I felt he was with me most of the time. It's really cool. And so I became very strong in it. So I didn't really need him to carry me. I just said, I'll hold your hand, Jesus. But carry me? I don't need you to carry me, man. I'm strong. I can walk through this with you. The Lord goes, sometimes, you know, we go through things that he brings us through that only he can carry us through it. We can't walk through it by ourselves. We can't walk through it just by holding his hand. He has to carry it. I had to humble myself, Janice. It was horrible. I mean, it's horribly wonderful. But I had to humble myself. Said, okay, God, I can't make it. Just to admit that I can't make it was big for me. Maybe because I'm a preacher. I know the word. I don't know what it was. My pride, probably that. But I just said, God, you know, I can't make it without you. I'm going to fail with this. This is going to take me down. And that was hard to admit, Janice, because my whole family's like that. I mean, my whole family is like, don't tell nobody what you're suffering. Keep your mouth shut. Don't whine. Don't complain. Just get up and go through it. I was raised with that. It's in my blood. And so for me to say, Jesus, I'm weak. My daddy would not have been proud of me. Yeah, he probably would, but you know, in the natural realm. So I said, dear Jesus, thank you, God, for giving me the grace to say, I need you. I can't make this thing. I can't walk. It wasn't like I was depending on just myself. I would hold his hand and go through things, right? But this was different. This was making me, if you will, humble myself and a thorn in the flesh, what do you want to call it? I said, dear God, I'm just not going to make it without you. This one is killing me. This one seems like it's going to destroy me. Save me, Jesus. And he picked me up for the first time ever that I know of and carried me through it. Janice, it was mind-boggling. It was the most beautiful thing. And I felt such love, Janice, such compassion, such, you know, like, you are mine, Randy. You know, you're my baby doll. You're my son. You're my child. I mean, I'm a big God. I watch over you. I want to carry you. I want to help you. And I felt this tender, loving, gentle giant care over me that I'd never felt before in my life. And boom, man, like, wow. It changed me. And I needed a lot of help, too. I mean, I'm a very independent person. And, you know, that's one of my weaknesses, I guess. I call it a strength, but it's really a weakness. And God has to work with me on that. Wow. Lord, carry me, Jesus. So that one set of footprints, you know. That was me there for a while. Man, am I ever glad I got to know that part of Jesus. It's part of him. That's a beautiful, tender, loving part of him, Janice, that I'd never known before that I got to know. And it is so sweet. That's why I call him Sweet Jesus. People say it's not a masculine thing, but I'm a very masculine person. And I just say it anyway. Sweet Jesus. He's sweet, man. Jesus Christ, the mighty man of God, is the sweetest name I know. I remember when I got saved, Janice, my favorite song in the old Baptist church before I got baptized in the Spirit and they ran me off. And it was, Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. He fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. In my heart there rings a melody, you know, sweet and low. It's all about Jesus, 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 the sweetest name I know, Janice. Wow. He carried me. I got to be next to his heart. I didn't think I needed that. That was fine. I thought I was leaning on his breast, you know, that kind of thing. But he's not. I'm going to carry you. You're going to love it. So I did. Woo-hoo. God, manifest yourself to my sister, God. Love on her, Jesus. Let her when she needs you to carry her. Yeah, I think women don't have a problem with that like men do. Maybe, I don't know, but anyway, there you go. All right, God bless you, Janice. All right. I think I got everybody. Thank you so much for being with us. If I miss you, please text me. I think I got everyone. Sweet Melody. All right, 912-398, did I already get you, Marie?
Not yet.
Okay, who am I talking to? Where from, please?
I'm Paulette, Georgia.
Oh, hi, Paulette. All right, Paulette. All right. I know the number looks familiar, but you know, when it gets late, I get kind of like dingy, to say the least. Paulette, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for that loving kindness, God, that loving kindness. God, we just release your loving kindness toward her daughter. We just release your loving kindness through Paulette, through me too, of course. And we come in agreement, God, that you send your love to Kayla. I said Kayla, I can't think of the name, Kayla. I believe that's her name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for that love, God. Let your love, God, just pass through us. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Pour out, God, that favor. Pour out your mercies and your grace, God. Do a mighty work inside of her in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, for Kayla. Thank you, God, for Kayla. Lord, we thank you for touching her. We thank you for comforting her. We thank you, Lord, that these things that she's going through, these difficulties are going to make her the greatest woman of God she could ever be, make her the strongest person she could ever be, the most yielded person to God. Sometimes it takes a lot. It took a lot to break me. I mean, I was saved walking with Jesus, and it still had to be broken, Paulette. It was absolutely disgusting, you know, when I look at it there. My gosh, it took a lot to break me. I mean, and it took a lot because I was one tough son of a gun, that's for sure, as far as, you know, being, yeah. So, man, he made a special weapon just for Randy Chandler. And, girl, it knocked me out. It was a knockout. Yeah, it was. Woo! He is so intelligent. He is so smart, Paulette. He knows just exactly what Kayla needs to come to the other side of things. Can you do with me? I prayed a prayer. I did the Jabez prayer, you know. Probably we talk about this, but they teach you to pray. Okay, pray the greatest thing you can think of that you want God to do in your life. Okay, what would that be for me? I want to be the greatest man of God that ever lived, of course, besides Jesus. I know that's, you know, impossible, right? But I'm praying anyway. You know, like, dear God, you know, make me the greatest man of God that ever lived besides Jesus. And I literally said that. That was a long time ago. That was back in 2000. Oh, man. 2001, 2002, something like that. Wow. Man, did he ever set it up. He set me up. Boy, it broke me and made me and shaped me. It was difficult. It was extremely, extremely difficult. I was in so much pain. I felt like somebody stabbed me in my heart, and I couldn't get the knife out. Well, that's how it felt. And God was, I didn't even know it, God was orchestrating the whole thing because he knew, he was answering my prayer, you know, basically, overall. He was trying to change me so he could use me at a higher level. And boy, howdy. Woo! The Lord with Kayla and what this is doing to Paulette, the pain, the the difficulty she goes through, the shame, the embarrassment, the of like, you know, I raised my baby, I raised my child. We did. What's going on? What's happening? The devil's a liar. Yeah, all that stuff that God, you just breathe into her, God, into her nostrils, into Paulette's nostrils, into Kayla's nostrils, the life and the love of Jesus, the love of the Father, the love of the Father. Come quickly, Lord Jesus, in Kayla's life. Love her, God, with Paulette. Love her, God. Mold her, shape her, Jesus. Build her up, God, to be your daughter, your baby doll, tender, merciful, kind, loving daughter. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, awesome. Thank you, Paulette. All right, 863-808, you want to talk to your friend, please?
Hey, Randy, this is Cheryl. Trying to wake up.
I guess, yeah, I hear you. All right, thank you. All right, Cheryl from Florida. Thank you, Lord, for Cheryl. God, we thank you for the light of your lamp, for lighting the lamp. You know, like I talk about this at times. I don't understand exactly how it all works, but, you know, we have the seven, I think that in our blessing from God of being born again, of being a child of the King, and being the temple of God, we know you're not that you are, that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and you offer your body as a living sacrifice, all that. So our body's a temple of God, right? And we have within us the menorah, the seven candlesticks. And in the Revelation, talk about those, and the gifts of the Spirit and all the things of God. So I thank you, Lord, that for lighting whatever candles, maybe you get blown out, like mine. You know, I think I had one burning for a long time. It was amazing that one candle burned. It's like, man, it's great to me. But man, when he started lighting up number two and then number three, and number four, I don't know how many are lit up, maybe just two, I'm not really sure, maybe three. But there's seven, the potential, the full, he wants to light every candle, everything where we shine so bright, the fire God burns, the truth of God, the passion of Jesus burns so bright that we just get around people and they get convicted because they don't love Jesus enough. It's like, man, I get around you, I don't feel like I love Jesus very much. Don't blame me, you know. I have nothing. And we realize it's an anointing that's drawing people to love Jesus more, to give their whole life, to give everything they have. And that light, the brighter that light shines, the more the fire burns. People who try to hurt us, harm us, or whatever, that light exposes it. That light, you know, tries to convict them and change them. And if they don't change, then God deals with them in different ways. But depends what level of their heart, their, you know, whatever their motives are, God deals with them according to their motive, according to what their motive is, not what we think the motive is. So God deals with them and opens them up to things. And, but, you know, the brighter, the more candles we have going on, I think we have seven. Seven is probably the fullness of, you know, 100-fold type thing, 3,600-fold, like 100-fold. All seven candles burning bright. God, I thank you, Lord, that you, as you turn on each candle in her life, God, whatever ones are not on, we thank you, Lord, for lighting them up. She's this thing. Well, she's burning with all seven candlesticks, God. Hallelujah. That's the goal that she has. That's the desire she has, God, is to burn with all seven candlesticks, burning flame into the top, God. We're the love of God, the light of Jesus, the light of the revelation, the love of God, so strong that we get around people that they feel like, man, I could just love Jesus more. I just need to love Jesus more. Yeah, it's not condemnation, it's conviction. Convincing them that there's more of God. It's not about how bad they are, how wrong they are. It's how much more they can have. It's more about, come on, there's so much more. Come on, it's not about, oh, you don't have enough, you ain't got enough. You know, it's not about, it's, the message is, come on, there's more. Come unto me and drink, ye who are thirsty. Come on, there's more of God. There's so much more of God. You know, more, come. And the Holy Spirit convinces them that they've got some Jesus, but there's a whole lot more Jesus they can have, and all they got to do is just like ask, seek, find. Hallelujah. Let that burn within her, God. Let that burn within her, Jesus. so that your light can shine through her, so your glory, your love can manifest through her, God, where people can know that we come so short of the fullness of everything you have for us, God, that we can have it all. All we got to do is just be willing to pay the price, basically. Obey you no matter what. Listen to your voice no matter what. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Burn bright in her, God. Open up light, burn, flow. In Jesus' name. All right. I think that's it as far as I can tell. Yeah, if you want, some of you don't have your hand up, so that tells me that you don't want me to call your number. Some of you, I can see I've already ministered to you once. But there we go. All right, 781-775. You want to talk to your friend, please?
This is Martine.
I'm sorry?
Martine?
Oh, hi, Martine. Oh, hey, Martine. Good to have you, Martine. All right, you got in just in time, didn't you? That's pretty good. Of course, California time, it's what? I guess you're still in California. It's only 10 o'clock over there. Man, you guys are just, you got all night long. Good job. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for timing. Thank you, God, for her timing. Thank you, Lord, that everything's on time. Everything's on schedule. Everything is in God's hands. Everything's being worked out. God, we thank you for everything, the timing, that you're teaching Martine more and more and more how to relax, that her life has been dedicated to you, and much more than that, that you have been dedicated to her. And when God is dedicated to us, Martine, everything works out together for you. Everything. Everything. I mean, everything. Our failures, our mistakes, our shortcomings, and everybody else's too. Hallelujah. Jesus. That everything's in your timing, God. You're teaching her to relax, teaching her to enjoy, teaching her how to not try to, but how to make things worse, you know, by worrying about it, you know, getting frustrated about it. We did. She's giving it to you, God, every day, and she's been very successful in that. She's learned over the years, God, how to give things to you, how to trust you, how to believe you. She may get worked up a little bit, but then she goes, no, what am I doing? Okay, Jesus, there you are, Jesus. There you are, love of my life. There you are, Lord God Almighty. There you are, Son of the Living God, my friend, watching over me, making sure I get your will done. Hallelujah. Yes, sirree, Baba. Hallelujah. Bless her, God. Help her to relax. Put your entry in more and more and more to that rest. Amen. That it's all about listening to your voice. Amen. When it seems like something's coming up short, we just listen for the voice of God. The voice of God to go, I never come up short. I never lack or slack. I never do. So it will be done. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And the more anxiety we have, we've talked about this before, when I prophesied over my old pastor in front of the whole church, that she needed to quit praying over some things, you know, like going, I don't know, what am I saying in church? I'm telling somebody not to pray so much. And what the deal was, she was praying in anxiety, she was praying out of stress instead of praying in peace. Yeah. And even her husband, my pastor, turned around to her and said, yeah, I've been trying to tell you that. It was amazing. Totally surprised me. Totally shocked how we all do that, dear God. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for helping us enter to your rest, where we know that you're our provider. We know your timing is working. Hallelujah. You're moving. And sometimes you do move in spite of us. Thank God. Can move in spite of us. Woo! God has me rest in Jesus, knowing that he can move in spite of me. Wow. I'm not always perfect, you know. That's right. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for grace. Oh, my sister, God, for mercy, for your tender loving care. God, you're watching over your baby doll daughter, God, that you love, Martine. You're blessing her, watching over her, Jesus. Amen, in Jesus' name. All right. All right. Maybe that's our last one. I don't know. I'm here at 1 o'clock if I need to be. I'm here to serve. Yep. I love it. Grateful to God for PGN. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. Hallelujah. I'm getting kind of laid back restful myself. Kind of cool. Yeah. All right. Blessed be the Lord, God Almighty, who was and is to come. Blessed be the Lord, God Almighty, who lives forevermore. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. We need you, Lord. We love you. We thank you for your mercy, for your grace, for your compassion, for your tenderness. We never take advantage. We always am grateful. We're always thankful for every blessing we have in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. All right. I think that's it for tonight. It's been great. So 12:05 in Texas. 10 in California, 1 or 2 offerings or gifts. Thank you so much for all of it. It is getting done. Yeah, it is. All right. Good night, everybody. Thank you so much. We love you. Bye-bye.